member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Thorpe's? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Everybody loves Dynamite.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in the company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
Just people, it's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
The rumors. Stop the run. Stop the run. Can't stop the run. We can't stop the run.
Down to Mike's show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, I work for a business that distributes latex gloves.
Oh, God, could we use them?
And I wanted to know if you guys wanted me to bring you free box.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, please. Tell Ken Keynes. Till Ken cleans the place up.
And you know Ken's not going to clean the place up, so yes, please. I'm very
We've had
serious.
Tantrums about this before. We've right. had big fits about the cleanliness of our bathroom. Nothing ever changes here.
But we've never done a black light test
to show
the DNA in the studio.
Yeah, when
you
we get
a box of large gloves?
Yeah, absolutely.
How many in a box?
100 to 50 pairs.
Make it two boxes.
Make it two boxes?
Yeah, and you know, besides, aside from keeping us protected, it's fun.
How do I get there?
Okay, hold on, please.
Hold on.
I'm not too proud to take someone's charity gloves.
Sure.
Bring them down.
Especially from the very youngest salesman.
Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, buddy.
Hey, I got the Friars thing queued up for you guys.
You got the what thing?
The Friars thing with Kevin James.
Well, I don't care about that. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello. It's only an hour.
Hello.
Buddy.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, right,
bud. Hello.
Buddy.
Hey, hi, Bobby.
Buddy.
Body. Body, old dear body.
Say, this is Mike. I played piano on the new Thanksgiving a year and a half ago.
Yes, sir.
And I was wondering if you might want some improvised spooky music for your trick-or-treat tomorrow.
What do you mean? You want to come down here tomorrow?
Bring my keyboard?
You're a very horny man, aren't you, Mike? You are a robo-horny man,
no,
Mike.
I think it's an asset. I think we can go sans your nude spooky music.
Okay.
Okay, but thank you for the offer.
You
sir.
Bet.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hello, Don and Mike show. There will be no fountain of man for him at the end of that call.
No. Put a black light over that keyboard.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi. This is Sam
Hook. Hey, Sammy.
Did you guys like to know whose DNA is there in the studio?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to know that.
Whose is it, Sam?
Larry Michael. Who else?
Larry Michael? Really?
Why would it be Larry?
Yeah, because Larry's come up with a short end of the stick every time.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio. The next time you need light bulbs, look to Sylvania for all your home lighting needs. I do.
It was Sam Hupp, the greatest linebacker in the history of the NFL.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, this is Donnie Simpson. Kiss it. Just kiss it.
Thank you. Hello,
that
Donnie.
That was not Donnie Simpson.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, I just want to give B. Arthur a shout-out. Shout-out!
Sure, okay. Robbie, how long till we're ready to go in the bathroom? Oh, 5 or 10 minutes? All right, hold on. I want to read you something out of the book.
Very good.
You know, I love the book of lists.
Mm-hmm, sure.
I love it, and the guy who wrote it sent me the advanced copy, and I read you the list of boobs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since I read that list on the air, this guy who lives in Northern California, his name is Stephen Spikenzi. And he's written a book that's better than the book of lists.
Okay.
He's written a book called The Odd Index.
Okay.
And this guy sent me a copy of the book because he knows how much I love lists.
Mm-hmm.
And he said we give him a plug. He promises he would dedicate his next book to us.
Very good. Now, what is this book? What is in here?
This is like a book of lists.
The book of odd?
Except it does the book of lists times 1,000 because
right.
it has disgusting lists.
Really?
Funny lists. Great lists. I went through and I read part of it this morning before we came in. For instance, this guy, this is one of the ones that's not dirty, but I know you'll like this.
Mm-hmm.
This guy went through Three Stooges movies.
Oh, really?
And he noted every time in a movie that one of them hits the other one.
Wow.
For instance, in the movie Disorder in the Court,
right.
They hit each other 19 times. Here it is in order of how it happens.
Okay.
Mo pokes Curly in the eyes with his index and middle fingers. Mo slaps Larry in the face. Curly falls backwards out of the witness stand. Larry shoots a cello bow arrow into the court reporter's mouth using the cello strings as his bow. Curly slams himself in the belly with a cello. Larry removes the guy's toupee with a violin bow. Curly slams Mo's foot with a hammer trying to kill the toupee. Mo fires five shots into the toupee with a revolver.
It is so funny when it's written down. That is great.
Mo hits Curly in the head with a conductor's cue. Curly slaps Mo on back, causing him to swallow a harmonica. Curly and Larry play ball by pumping his arms up and down. Mo hits Curly in the head with a hammer. Mo inserts Curly's head into a letterpress and begins tightening it. The steel tightening wheel on top of the letterpress spins rapidly backwards, flies up in the air, and comes down on Mo's head. Mo pops Curly on top of his head to pop it back into shape after it's compressed in the letterpress.
Oh, man.
A parrot lands on the heads of five jurors, and Curly hit each one on the head with a hammer in an attempt to subdue the bird.
Yeah, trying to kill the parrot.
Larry smashes the Stradivarius with a hammer. Mo instructs Curly to grab his own ear, and then he drags him around as Curly holds onto his ear, making a convenient handle with his arm. And finally, Curly soaks everybody in the courtroom with a fire hose.
Yeah.
That's a good list.
That is a terrific list.
And that's not even one of the really great ones.
Oh, that is fantastic. I mean, really, who would have thought? I mean, you list all the acts of violence in the Three Stooges movie.
Funny. Okay. Eddie Murphy. Delirious.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the one where he had the red suit on? The really funny movie?
Oh, yeah.
Is it Delirious? So. The one where he says, I know
I think
that...
so. The leather suit.
Hey, Fred, I would know that you want...
I think that's it.
Okay. He counted every time Eddie Murphy cusses.
Okay.
In that movie. What do you think the number one profanity is in the movie Delirious with Eddie Murphy?
MF.
No, Buzzy.
I was just going to say the simple F word.
It's the S word.
Oh, okay.
He says it 132 times in the movie.
My God.
Number two is the F bomb, 94 times.
Right.
Then you have Mother Effer, 55 times.
See, I thought that was number one.
Mother Effing.
Right.
46 times.
Wow.
Ass, 17. Effing, 16. Bitch, 14. Dick, 14. Pussy, as in pussy cat, 9.
Mm-hmm.
Goddamn, 5. Effed up, 5. N-word, 5. Faggot, 4. Bull S, 1.
Only one BS.
Only one bull S.
That's amazing.
Interesting.
Yeah, right. Way to go, Eddie.
Then he says, let's compare that to his movie Raw.
Okay. That was the one after Delirious.
Right. What do you think the number one expletive was in the movie Raw?
Yeah.
Buzz.
Oh, gee, I'll say S.
Yes, he loves S.
He loves S.
103 S.
Oh, still getting it up over, 100.
Right. Number two, again, is F.
Mm-hmm.
92 times. Mother Effer, number three. He's very consistent.
He is. It seems to be, the same writing.
Mm-hmm. And it follows pretty much all the way through. Total expletives for both movies.
Oh, good.
921.
Hey, all right, bring it home for the kids.
Love that.
God, I mean, I remember that was a big source of controversy when that movie came
out.
The knock on Eddie was that that's all he was doing.
Bill Cosby gave Eddie Murphy a hard time for the profanity
that's
in that
right.
concert.
Right,
hold on, let me see.
Now, this is not a funny list, but a list that we can definitely use on this show.
Okay.
IQ list. This is really the list that tells you how smart you are.
All right.
If your IQ is 141 or higher, you're a genius. If you're 111 to 140, you're superior. 91 to 110 is normal. 81 to 90, dull. And that is the definition that they give
dull.
You. Dull.
Dull. You're dull. We got a few dull people around here.
Borderline is 71 to 80.
And when they say borderline, I mean, you're borderline, like, out of it.
Forrest Gump.
See, now, we always have thought, because Forrest Gump has an IQ of 75, that
that's
he
right.
was a moron.
Mm-hmm.
But officially, he's borderline,
mm-hmm.
because to be a moron,
yes.
technically, your IQ has to be 51 to 70.
51 to 70.
If you're 26 to 50, you're classified as an imbecile.
Okay.
And if you're 0 to 25, officially, you're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually use those words.
Yes.
Imbecile. You imbecile. Idiots.
So imagine that. We've been using moron as the worst form of intellectual harassment,
mm-hmm.
when actually imbecile and idiot are much better put down.
And you know, they're speaking of Three Stooges. They used to use those words in the all Three Stooges shorts all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we took the IQ test here, Charlie Broyhill was the clear winner.
I mean,
going away winner.
Yeah, it was a shocker.
Frightened all of us.
And I know one guy, Rob Spiewak, who still is upset about that.
Sure. Freaked out.
The fact that Broyhill had a higher IQ than he did.
That was very, very scary for Rob.
Here's a list.
That's a rematch.
Here's a list. 25 euphemisms for alcohol.
25 euphemisms for alcohol.
Cool. Okay.
All right.
A lot of these I bet you haven't heard before.
All right.
Bitches wine.
I haven't heard that one.
Bug juice. Coffin varnish. Cold coffee. Colorado Kool-Aid. Dutch courage. Embalming fluid, jungle juice, Mexican milk, nanny goat sweat, pig sweat, potato soup, prairie dew, prune juice, shampoo, snake juice, snake poison, strip me naked, tarantula juice, tiger sweat, tonsil bath.
Man,
wow.
I never heard of any of those.
Man, prairie juice.
No booze or hooch. No.
Yeah, I mean, where's booze?
Oh, it didn't make the list.
Huh. I guess it wasn't weird enough.
Then he's got a whole section about... girls and guys who are naked in movies.
Really?
And it says it does better than the book The Bare Facts that we read one day on the air. Let me see. Everybody from Kim Basinger to Kirstie Alley. Oh, here's one for you. This is the one that I want to select to read to you. Kathy Bates is naked in a movie.
She is.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, my. Hey, Buzz, I didn't know you felt that way about Kathy.
Sure.
That's right. The movie's called At Play in the Fields of the Lamb.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that.
1991. Okay. Let me see. She won an Academy Award for playing Annie Wilkes in the movie Misery. She appeared in several respective films. However, in the movie At Play in Fields of the Lord, total frontal nudity for Kathy Bates. So
really?
So if you're doing nothing this weekend, you know, you get an extra hour because you put the clock back.
You sure you got that movie right? Because I thought it was another movie.
What'd you think it was?
Free Willy.
let me see. Corbin Burnson, Valerie Bertinelli, Linda Blair.
Alyssa Milano.
No, I don't see her.
Damn.
Jimmy Lee Curtis. Tyne Daly.
All right. Nude?
Yep.
Really?
Let me see. 10 years before her breakthrough as Mary Beth Lacy, Tyne Daly appeared in a little-known movie about an impotent husband who hires a gigolo to keep his young, voluptuous wife satisfied. This has to be one of the roles that Tyne Daly is sorry she accepted, but for her fans it is noticeable because she is topless 7 times in the film.
And they said that she was his young, voluptuous wife. She's described as young...
1973.
Really? I was going to think maybe when The Wizard of Oz was made.
The movie is called The Adulteress.
Mm-hmm.
You want to look for it? Susan Day.
Yeah, she's been doing a lot.
Patty Duke. Robert De Niro. Sally Field. I was surprised to see that.
That she's been nude?
Yeah. But it's only her ass that's in a movie.
Okay.
Mel Gibson.
I bet I know the movie.
What?
I bet I know Norma Rae.
No, a movie called Stay Hungry.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. She was in a bra in Norma Rae.
Didn't they go skinny dipping in Norma Rae and you saw the guy's butt?
You never see her butt. You see that guy. What's that guy's name? That guy.
That actor. We always
that guy.
With that guy.
What's that guy?
The guy's got the big face.
He's got the big face guy. Huge nose.
Yeah.
Who is that?
Oh, and he was married to somebody famous, too.
I don't know.
Somebody will know that.
That's
what's great about doing this show.
That's right.
We talk, really. You want to talk about low IQs. Don and I do that like two absolute idiots. We'll get somebody that'll call in and know.
What's that guy's name? Christ.
It's not Judd Hirsch.
No. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good afternoon. I was just calling regarding the topic they're discussing right now.
Right.
And I heard Mike mention Alyssa Milano. He seemed to be upset that she wasn't in that book.
Yes.
Well, actually, she was... There is a movie that she is...
I gave you, Gary. There is the movie. Robbie, you got the guy's name?
Is it Ron Liebman?
Yep.
That's it.
Thank you, Robbie.
Married to somebody famous, and I forgot who.
Okay, let me see. John Lennon, naked in movies.
Don't need to see that.
Rob Lowe, Madonna, Rob Morrow, Suzanne Somers, Sissy Spacek, Sylvester Stallone.
Jack Palance.
Sylvester Stallone, it's his porno movie.
It's that's right.
A party at Kitty and Studs, in which he's totally nude throughout the film.
Yo, I'm here to deliver your pizza.
It's available for rental and has achieved cult status.
Hey, I'm the stud, and we're having the party at Kitty's house. Yeah.
Yo. Okay, here you go. Odd things that people eat.
Odd, just generically odd things that people eat.
Okay. Baked armadillo. Baked bat. Baked cow heart. The Chinese eat bear's paw stew, in which a bear's paw is cut into chunks and simmered in a pot with ham, chicken, and sherry. Norwegian people enjoy beef blood pudding.
No, that's gross.
The French enjoy beef udder pot roast. The Hawaiians enjoy broiled puppy.
Oh.
Puppies are broiled flat over hot coals and served with sweet potatoes.
Broiled puppy.
The Japanese enjoy broiled sparrows.
Oh, man. Well, you know.
Indonesian people enjoy coconut cream marinated dog.
Ah! Well, that's not as bad as the puppies.
Let me see. The French enjoy cow brain fritters.
Now, see, that's the French know how to make everything taste good.
Let me see. The French enjoy... You want to rethink that, Mike? The French enjoy fish sperm crepe. Fish sperm is baked in crepes with mushrooms, butter, and cheese.
Oh, man.
Hungarians...
I bet that's hard to swallow.
Hungarians, I bet you could find some on the walls here. The Hungarians enjoy fried calf's head.
Well,
I know you've heard of this before. The Chinese like fried grasshoppers. This one they attribute to Americans.
You know, on that list, I would love to know what everybody would try. You know, would you try? Is there? You know, there are a few things on the list I would certainly try.
I would try a grasshopper. I think I've eaten on the radio before, like chocolate insects. Insects have been covered in chocolate.
I don't think I would. I don't think I'd eat the insects, but I'd certainly try the bat. You know, but I would not try the puppy.
This one they give Americans credit for. Fried turkey testicles.
I've eaten those.
The gonads are coated with breadcrumbs and fried in olive oil or butter.
I ate some kind of testicle. I don't know.
The French enjoy...
That didn't sound good. That didn't really sound good. I was... were we at the same restaurant when they served that, or was I on vacation? I think I might have been in Arizona.
I don't know.
But they said... It was some sort of testicle.
Here, Mike, here's a good one for you from the Irish.
Okay.
Your people.
Yes.
Pig's face and cabbage.
Pig's heads are part of, they would boil a pig's head in Irish.
The face is baked with seasonings and served with boiled cabbage.
Nice face.
Let me see. Pork testicles and cream. Shark's fin soup. The Ghanaian people enjoy stewed cat.
Mm-hmm.
In which a cat is fried in peanut oil and butter and simmered in a pot with red peppers.
I'd eat that.
The French enjoy stuffed calf's eyes.
I'd eat eyes.
Let me see. Stuffed cow spleen. Chinese enjoy sun-dried maggots.
God!
Maggots are dried in the sun and eaten as a snack or a side dish with a meal.
This is a theme show today.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I feel that queasy feeling again. Did you say sun-dried maggots?
Yep, that's right. All right, let me go to a more pedestrian.
You don't want them raw.
Let me go to a more pedestrian. Here you go. What real personality characteristics of the astrology signs.
Okay.
So in all the crap, this is not a joke list. This is like serious.
Good. Real stuff.
For instance, I will tell you, it says from me, Virgo, it says the positive trait is organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I would agree that I'm very organized.
Mm-hmm.
Negative trait is obsessive compulsive tendencies.
That's
and I
true
think
too.
For me, that's absolutely right on.
Right.
Now, what are you, Mike?
Cancer.
Cancer. It says cancer, positive trait, creativity.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about that.
Right.
Negative trait, self-pity.
Self-pity. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
No, big time. No kidding. And Buzz, what are you?
I'm a Libra.
Libra.
Mm-hmm.
Let me find you. Libra. Buzz, positive trait, judgment. Negative trait, indecisiveness.
Oh, my God.
Please. This is right on, isn't it?
That is weird.
Buzz, Robbie, what are you?
Pisces.
Oh, Rob is a Pisces.
I think we're up.
Positive trait, compassion.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Negative trait, weakness. I mean, I swear to God.
Wow.
This is the most right-on astrology, at least with the people on the show.
What is what is Broyhill?
That's a good question. Let's find out what he is real fast.
You gotta find this out.
I don't know what sign he is.
That is a phenomenal list.
What is he?
CLI Taurus.
He's a Taurus?
Taurus.
Okay, CLI Taurus.
Like my father.
Taurus. Nice. Positive trait, stability.
Mm-hmm.
Negative trait, stubbornness.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's, with everybody
it's
on this
weird.
Show, that's pretty right on,
it's
isn't it?
It's very, very weird.
That's a pretty good list. Okay, well, we got to do a break.
That's weird.
Let me give you one more. I'm going to give this book another plug. The book is called The Odd Index.
That is wonderful. I like that book.
And the guy is a huge fan of this show.
Mikey Rocket, please. Mikey Rocket, just to get his sign, just
hold
to
on.
Find out.
Okay, find out what sign Rocket is.
Positive trait. Positive trait. Stupidity. Negative trait. Stupidity.
Where is it? Where's Rocket? What is he? What is he?
Age of Aquarius.
Aquarius. It's another different one.
Okay.
Positive trait. Wisdom.
Ah!
Oh, no.
Okay, this is where it's off the scale.
We're going to have to live with that.
Negative trait. Perversity.
Hey, I knew it was worth going back to. Hey, where'd it go, Mikey?
Okay, I got one more for you, okay? Because I know we have to do a break. The 26 stages of deterioration a corpse goes through.
Oh, good.
From
okay.
the moment you die.
Man, I love it. Bring it on.
The moment of death.
Yeah.
Your heart stops.
Mm-hmm.
Then your skin gets tight and ashen in color. Then your muscles relax. Then your bladder and bowels empty. Then your body temperature begins to drop. After 30 minutes, your skin gets purple and waxy. Your lips, fingernails, and toes fade to a pale color.
This is creeping me out.
Well, it's almost Halloween,
yeah, it's perfect. Yeah.
Blood pools at the bottom of the body. Hands and feet turn blue, and your eyes sink into your skull. After 4 hours, rigor mortis sets in. The purpling of the skin and cooling of the blood continues, and your muscles tighten for another 24 hours. After 12 hours, you're in full rigor mortis. After 24 hours, the body is now the temperature of the surrounding environment. In males, after 24 hours, your semen dies. Your head and neck are now a greenish-blue color. Then the greenish-blue color spreads to the rest of the body, followed by a pervasive smell of rotten meat. And the face of the person is essentially no longer recognizable. This is after 24 hours.
Really? Not recognizable.
After 3 days, the gas in the body tissues forms large blisters.
Good.
The whole body begins to bloat and swell. Good. Fluids leak from the mouth, nose, vagina, and rectum.
I want to die.
And after 3 weeks, Mike, when you're really in the ground, skin, hair, and nails are so loose they can easily be pulled off the corpse. Skin bursts open in many places on the body. And decomposition continues until the body is nothing but a skeleton. A process that can take a month in hot climates. And 2 or 3 months if you're buried in a cold climate.
So it happens that quickly?
Yeah.
Well, what accounts for when they, is it disinter somebody? Or they actually dig up the...
They exhume
someone? And
they must do stuff from their bones, I think,
you
right?
know, I remember the case right. of Medgar Evers, where they went back to get evidence in the trial for his murderer.
Right.
And they exhumed the body, and he was almost totally preserved.
I think that speaks of quality embalming.
Is that what it is?
They get all the fluid out, and then they replace it with, like, alcohol and stuff that doesn't decay.
Wow.
You're quality embalmers, Mike.
Yeah, I've already got mine, and I can give you a business card if you want a good
he
one.
He speaks the same way if you're talking about a good clothing retailer.
Or if you're talking about some stupid cartoon that was on the air 20 years ago.
That's why he's brain spiwack.
Brain spiwack. Not as large an IQ as Charles Broyhill, though.
That's right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
After Rob Liebman, he was married to Linda Lavin, TV's Alice.
TV's Alice, that's right.
There you go. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Lucky man he was.
What beautiful children.
Hello.
Don, Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Radio God.
Hi there.
Hey, Mike. Alyssa Milano was nude in Embrace with a Vampire, and she actually did, like, a pseudo G-rated lesbian scene.
You know, I heard that, and then Charlie Broyhill told me there's another movie that he keeps telling me to rent that's got Alyssa Milano in it, and I forgot what the name of that movie is. Charlie will know what that name is.
Who's the Boss? She's all our new scenes with Tony Danza.
Practically right. It's the fastest move in 2 weeks. Yes.
Hugo Poole.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, the name of the movie is Poison Ivy 2.
Wait, all your friends are calling now.
Is this another Alyssa Milano thing?
Yeah, she's naked in tons of movies, Mike.
Hello,
Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
I had to call. Now I have two reasons to call you, because originally I called the wrong radio station and started going to the spiel about how I'm from Hawaii originally, and we do not eat puppies. And now I have a message for you from DJ from the other station.
What other station did you call?
WJFK. I mean, WMZK. MZQ. Yeah, WMZQ.
Oh, the country station.
Yeah.
Want to try one more time, maybe?
Well, I called him and told him we don't eat puppies in Hawaii, and he was like, what are you talking about?
He probably thought you requested some stupid country song. Hey, it's coming up by Lee Greenwood. We don't eat puppies in Hawaii.
Oh, we don't eat puppies in Hawaii.
Well, now he has a message for you.
Yes.
He said to tell you that he's Puerto Rican and they eat fat Irish guys. But anyway, that's...
What? What, ma'am? Ma'am, you know, you just
like, God.
Yeah, I really don't know.
Wow.
Don't know.
NZKQCD.
This is the Don and Mike Show. And now, live from Washington, D.C., here's Larry.
Our guest is Robert Daly. His newest book is A Faint Cold Fear. It is published by Little Brown. We'll be going to your calls to the bottom of the hour at 703-685-2177. Are you already working on the next one?
Well, I know pretty well what I want to do. And there's a long process to go through. I have to write an outline. And although I have a contract with the publisher, they have the right to, you know, diddle with my outline, which they always do. And I have to work out the details and then start it and then write it. And so we're talking about another year here. And the end of the year gets very long because whatever you may have done, I mean, you've written enough books to know this. Until you write the end, at the end of it, you got nothing. Even, you know, you can't sell anything until you finish the last page.
Who's your agent?
Huh?
Who's your agent?
ICM, Esther Newberg.
Fantastic.
Lovely woman.
He's Sterling Lord.
Oh, you do? Sterling was my agent for years and years and years.
I like him. He's not vigorous.
No.
But he's a kind of nice manner.
Yeah.
I think about it a full time right along here, you said. I like someone more.
Yeah.
For me, it's my own. Well, I just got a real nice advance to do a book on growing up in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Like Russell Baker did about Baltimore, right? About just what the street was like in the neighborhood.
Well, you got four books already behind you.
Yeah. You're just on the bestseller list, huh?
It's not yet. It's only been out 1 month. And the book, the bestseller list is 2 weeks behind, as you know. But it's had wonderful sales in Europe. I'm really astonished.
Some cover?
I don't know. I don't know what they'll do. I don't like the cover. It's got two messages. Yeah, it's okay. It's got two messages on it, both of which are, you know, sort of against the female.
Can't read this.
In New York, but I really live mostly in Connecticut and in the Canyon.
East side?
West side, right opposite the Museum of Natural History.
Nice job.
Yeah.
It's really growing that area. Columbus.
Yeah. Lots of empty stores, you know. And these guys, these landlords who jack up the rents and force people out that have been there for years. Now, in our times, in the recession, they're stuck with it.
Good. Yeah, right. Now, I thought we were on a break. Okay, so we've been sitting here all the time talking and nothing. Does anybody signal me? Are we on a break? Did we take a break? No, we're back. Well, you never signal me back from a break. Are we on? Okay, thanks. Did anyone ever say, here's Larry? Did you hear it, Robert?
No,
I did not. Robert didn't hear it, and I didn't hear it. I'm just talking to the crew. I realized we're on. I looked up. I saw the light. Neither of us ever heard a signal come back. So we have been sitting here. Welcome to the Larry King Show. Our guest is Robert Daly. We're going to pause for news headlines, a word from the local stations, and when we come back, we will take your phone calls. Our numbers are 703-685-2177. 2177, and this is semi-hysterical. Yeah, we are on. Thank you. Okay, all I'm telling you is, Mr. Daly and I were sitting here. Last I remember was breaking for commercial, and we never came back. We never came back. So if we came back, we thank you. And if you heard us talking, I don't know what we were talking about.
We're talking about agents and things like
agents.
That.
And couldn't have been. If you heard whatever you heard, we didn't curse.
The Don and Mike Show.
Promoting testicular self-examination. The Don and Mike Show.
Now, because we're going to be gone next week, that means that we are going to miss our annual April Fool's Day show. And we've had great April Fool's gags in the past.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple of this week.
Yep.
The one with our agent went, you know, so-so.
Yeah, but it was funny.
The one with Leah Remini and Charlie Broyhill was a home run.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was a smash.
He definitely thought that Leah was in love with him, and we will contact Leah Remini shortly on today's show to find out her thoughts on it. The final one is one that... I thought yesterday it would be great to get Ken. It would be great to get the Jackal, Ken Stevens. Now, in case you don't know, we have a history with Regis Philbin. And I'll tell you what our history with Regis Philbin has been. Like 10 years ago, when Regis and Kathy Lee started their show,
right?
Regis, because they were desperate for ratings, would call disc jockeys all over America.
Yep, he's on this show a couple of times.
And he would come on our show. He'd come on like at 10 minutes until 9. We had a morning show. And then as soon as he'd go on TV, he'd say, I want to say hi to my buddies, Don and Mike. And that was the deal. He would plug his show, then he would give us a little something on TV.
First time he did it, we actually got really excited about it.
Sure. Yeah, but then, like always, we're tired with it.
Absolutely.
And then, over the years, we've done a bunch of stuff, like getting into Regis's voicemail one time when he was at a hotel. And
you know, we've always fancied Regis, as everybody else, as kind of a cartoonish guy, mm-hmm. and he's fun to make fun of.
And one time, we got into Kathy Lee's voicemail at a hotel, and Regis got mad and called the people that run the company, and we got in big trouble. We were told we could never, ever do anything like get into Regis Philbin's voicemail again.
Right. Well, we've honored that, but you know, the thing about Regis now, Regis has become such a big star that people take him more seriously, and Don decided to take advantage of that.
So here we go. Here's the setup. The setup is that Mike, as Regis, is going to call Ken to complain about something we've done on the show, and it certainly could be anything because, you know, we haven't even gotten to the latest story about Regis and the tabloids where he's yelling at people on his millionaire show and making fun of them.
I think this is a twofold bunch of tape here that you're going to see that, you know, first of all, how wonderfully easy it is to get people to believe that I'm Regis. And the second thing
is... Well, you do it great.
Yes,
I think
you do
the best Regis Philbin ever.
The second thing is how totally impossible, and in fact, impossible to get into Ken Stevens' inner circle.
Mm-hmm. Just tape one, Robbie? Number one, all right, let's roll this. This is my calling for Ken as Regis. And you will go through a myriad of people, won't you?
Sure. I finally get to the road. You'll hear the roadblock, because that's when the tape ends. It kind of ends abruptly. But I go through one, two, three, I think four people.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right, let's hear it. Sorry for fool's joke on Ken.
Can I help you?
Yeah, is this WNEW?
Yes, can I help you?
Yes, Ken Stevens, please.
No,
thank you. Jesus, that's a lot of rings. What the hell's he doing?
Programming.
Yeah, Ken Stevens, please.
He's not here today. Can I take a message?
This is Regis Philbin calling.
Okay.
He was supposed to be expecting my call. My production manager, Rob Stein, was supposed to call in advance.
You remember that Rob Stein is the name that we used earlier this week.
Right.
The movie producer with our agent.
Rob Stein, it's a name that has clout.
Mm-hmm. Did someone get that call?
No, no one did.
Who am I speaking with?
My name is Josh. I'm a temp here.
We've got a problem that I need taken care of. We've got a problem over our soundstage. Two of the disc jockeys have called our soundstage, and they're disrupting our production. And I've had problems with these fellas before, and I'm wondering if there's a chance I could speak with the manager.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you his phone number. He's in Philadelphia right now. I'm gonna give you the phone number.
All right, you hold on a second. I'm gonna put you on with somebody that will get that number. All right.
All righty.
And will you pass along to whoever you who's the program director up there?
I think it's Jeremy Coleman.
Will you pass along that we've got problems over at our soundstage for Millionaire, and it's really a big problem, Josh.
All righty.
All right, I'm gonna put you on with somebody to get that number. All right.
Sure.
Thank you.
So at this point, whoever this poor schmuck is at NEW, he has obviously no idea.
No idea.
So now you're calling WYSP.
Yes, in Philadelphia.
The station in Philly.
Part two.
Trinity Broadcast, NWYSP. Can I help you?
Yes, hello. Ken Stevens, please.
Hold on.
Hey, how about that nice attitude?
Yeah, I know.
Hold on. Good luck.
I'm not sure. I think I might get angry at her or one of the other ones.
I'm good. Sure.
Hello? Ah, jeez, what a quagmire. It's driving me nuts. Can't believe this. All these radio stations. All I want to do is talk to Ken Stevens. I'm not sure what the problem is. I'm really not sure. I'm just trying to talk to one. Hello?
Mrs. Stevens, his sister is not answering. He is away.
Listen, they gave me this phone number at WNEW up
yes.
in New York. This
he is here today, but he's just not available for
this is this is Regis Philbin. We've had a problem with our production. Two of your disc jockeys that have been disrupting our schedule, and my production manager, Rob Stein, called earlier, and I was supposed to get through to Mr. Stevens.
Hold on for a second.
Thank you.
Now they're running around saying, listen, Regis Philbin is on the telephone.
Yeah, make sure. Sometimes they don't even give you a chance to get that name in.
Looking for Ken. Regis Philbin on the phone.
What's the problem with these people? They're driving me crazy. All I want to talk to is this character, Stevens. Whoever he is. Zerrera. I don't understand these people. I'll tell you right now, I'm getting a little pissed off. Starting to drive me nuts. I don't understand. I've been on hold. It feels like 40 days.
Settle down, Regis.
I got things to do. I'm auditioning for Monday Night Football.
Trying to get someone for you.
I've been waiting. I'll tell you, I called WNEW. I've been holding for 2 hours, it seems like. Hello?
I'm trying to get someone for you, sir.
Jeez. I'm just trying to get through to Kenneth Stevens. She put me on hold again. I don't know who these guys are, but they've been a boil on my butt for a long time.
Speaking of boils.
Yeah. I tell you, it's pandemonium. The hell's wrong with people? And I got to listen to this rock and roll crap while I'm waiting. Driving me insane. Silliness.
It's like the real dialogue that you would really hear in Regis's head if he was really sitting on hold somewhere.
Sure.
For goodness sake.
For God's sake.
For God's
sake. For the love of Pete.
For the love of Pete.
God, I hate Living Color.
Is that the band they're playing?
I really do.
Rob.
The nerve of these people.
Here's an idea, though.
The good news is they're probably busily in emergency method getting Ken on the line right now. This Stevens fella, that Boyle.
This is a wonderful insight into inner workings of big-time radio.
Absolutely.
When you have a major television star on the telephone, listen to this. Just put him on hold.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. This is how long it takes.
Just park him.
Amazing.
Oh, here we go.
Stephen's office?
Yeah, this is Regis Philbin. I was my production manager, Rob Stein, was supposed to call for Mr. Stevens.
Unfortunately, Ken is out of the office at the moment. May I have him return the call?
Yeah, can I leave a message for him? I'm not going to be able to talk to anybody for the rest of the day. Who are you?
I'm Ken's assistant, Maureen.
Hi, Maureen. Listen, we've got two of your, not your disc jockeys, but they work at their WNEW.
Uh-huh.
And they've been disrupting our production. And they've done it before, and Rob Stein called in advance. Everyone there was supposed to expect this call. They've been disrupting our broadcast. Do you know anything about this?
No, I'm sorry.
Ah,
oh, jeez. But I'll be happy to have
him. Well, can you just pass along to him that we've got two disc jockeys that have been calling our soundstage, and they're, they're doing what the prank call thing.
Okay, who are they? Who they give me?
They're down in D.C., and they're on in New York, and I had it written down. Yeah, that's it. That's the name of it.
Beautiful.
They know whenever there's trouble.
Yeah,
it's Don and Mike.
Yeah, right.
I was just getting her to say it. I didn't want to say it under any circumstances.
Right. Yeah, that's it. That's the name of the fellas. And they're disrupting the production. And I'm just trying to. I've had problems with them. I talked to that Comazon guy before, and now I wanted to talk to Stevens.
Okay. Is there
any way I could get through him right now, please?
He's out of the office.
Is there a way you could reach him just to I just, all I want to do, I want the prank calls to stop.
Okay.
All right, Maureen, could you help me out there?
I understand that. I'd be happy to try and get a hold of Ken and have to call you right back.
Yeah, I'm going to put you on with Rob Stein, and he'll get the number. But will he be, is there a way he'll be at the office in another 15 minutes or so?
I'm sure he will be.
All right, I'll call back in 15 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Goodbye.
All right, so now you wait 15 minutes, right?
Wait 15 minutes and call back to the station in Philadelphia.
Call back to Philly, okay.
Infinity Broadcast and WYS Weekend.
I'd like to point out, while this is going on,
right,
while we're waiting for Ken to surface,
mm-hmm, damage control is already taking place.
Jeremy from NEW in New York, he's already calling down here to D.C.,
right,
wondering if we've said anything about Regis on the show in the last couple of days, because, you know, much like the news of your inside out belly button,
sure, right, yes,
same thing. As soon as anybody in the company gets word that we might have done anything,
rush fire.
Right. You know, on the phone, Philly, New York,
right,
D.C., Boston, Dynamite did it to Regis again. Call Ken. So Jeremy's already called us asking if we know about it, and we've ducked the call. We put the call off on Charles Broyhill. So now you're calling back to YSP again, right?
Yes, YSP.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, Ken Stevens. God. What an ordeal. Wait.
Mr. Stevens is not at his desk.
He's supposed to be... this is Regis Philbin. He's expecting my call. I called about 20 minutes ago, and he was supposed to be getting my call. I spoke to a Maureen.
Yes.
And can I speak to her, please?
Hold on, please.
God.
Oh, back to Maureen.
It's ridiculous. All I'm doing is trying to get through to people around here. What kind of operation is this?
For cockamamie.
Hello? Hello?
Ken Stevens' office?
Yes, Regis Philbin for Ken Stevens.
Regis, I'm very sorry, but Ken has not returned.
Hold on, rerun that.
Oh, yeah.
Regis? Regis, Ken has not returned yet.
This is ridiculous. All I'm doing is trying to get through to people around here. What kind of operation is this?
Hold on.
Hello? Hello?
Ken Stevens' office?
Yes, Regis Philbin for Ken Stevens.
Regis, I'm very sorry, but Ken has not returned.
Did Rob Stein talk to you?
No. Nobody's called.
When do you expect him back? I just want to see if we can get this problem solved before we go, you know, we go in today.
Well, I thought Ken would have returned by now, but his appointment must be running longer. I'd be happy if you need to speak to somebody immediately.
Yeah, I do. Can I speak to somebody there, please? Well, I just want to... What I'd like to avoid is four phone calls, if possible.
Yeah, I understand.
Is there someone there that I could speak with, please?
Not in Philadelphia that has anything to do with any of the shows.
Well, I called... I don't know. I told you that I called NEW before. That's the one that I called before.
Right. If I could get your number, I can have the program director of... Actually, it's the same gentleman... programs both WNEW and the station in Washington.
What's his name?
Jeremy Coleman.
I've got a number for him right here.
Oh, okay.
The 212-489 number.
Right.
That's the number to call him?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to call him, Maureen.
And he is there right now.
What's his name?
Jeremy.
Jeremy. Jeremy Goldman?
Coleman. C-O-L-E.
Coleman. Coleman, like the stove.
Yes.
All right. All right, thank you, darling.
You're welcome.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye.
All right, darling.
Darling.
So Regis.
All right, so now you're calling back to NEW, right?
Yes. Okay.
There's still no sign of Ken anywhere.
No.
May I help you?
It's WNEW.
Hi, may I help you?
Yeah, I need to speak with a Jeremy Goldstein, please.
I have a Jeremy Coleman. C-O-L-E-M-A-N.
Oh, yeah, all right. Yeah, that sounds right.
Rub elbows.
Programming.
Yeah, I need to speak with Jeremy Coleman.
Yes, is this Regis Philbin?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, hi, this is Josh again. Hold on one second.
How you doing?
Beautiful. I'm going to redo his line right now, Mr. Philbin. Okay?
Thank you.
Hold on, back that up. This is a guy we've got to meet when we start going to NEW. This guy, yeah. Josh, the most gullible man on the planet. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Is this Mr. Philbin?
Right. He's a temp.
Oh, Jesus.
May I help you?
It's WNEW.
Hi, may I help you?
Yeah, I need to speak with a Jeremy Goldstein, please.
I have a Jeremy Coleman. C-O-L-E-M-A-N.
Oh, yeah, all right. Yeah, that sounds right.
Rub elbows.
Programming.
Yeah, I need to speak with Jeremy Coleman.
Yes, is this Regis Philbin?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, hi, this is Josh again. Hold on 1 second.
How you doing?
I'm going to transfer you to his line right now, Mr. Philbin. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, so now you're going to speak to Jeremy.
Okay, and I have to stop here because this is where it started. This will now come to an end because I'm not sure whether Jeremy knows or not, but if he does know, he's not 100% sure, but you can tell he's got kind of an attitude.
I told you, I think if he knew 100%, he would say, okay, this is funny, Mike. Right. Stop doing this.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so now we get to hear Regis with Jeremy.
That is so far from... Oh, man.
Josh. Hey, it's Jeremy Coleman.
Hello.
What can I help you with?
Yes, this is, Jeremy Coleman.
That's me.
Hi, Regis Philbin. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I haven't spoken with you. Have you talked to Rob Stein, my production manager?
No, I've heard from Maureen.
I spoke with the Maureen in Philadelphia.
Right.
My production manager, Rob Stein, was supposed to call you.
Okay.
Did you get a call from him?
No, I didn't.
It's regarding one of your shows or your disc jockeys were disrupting our production.
Okay.
And I've had conversations with the higher ups before about these two fellas. They're not on your Philadelphia station.
Right. I was actually part of those conversations several years ago.
All right, so you remember that?
Absolutely.
This involves someone's calling our soundstage and disrupting our production, and I don't know the details, but it's I was supposed to speak to a Ken
Stevens.
So I want to get this stopped if that's possible. I don't know all the details.
I've checked with the people from the show, and he ain't doing it. So I'm trying to figure out what exactly it would be, whether it's an overzealous listener that
this
got
is where I thought he might buy it, because he's really giving me, if he doesn't know, he's certainly, this is
taking
Jeremy's, the time to giving an explanation.
This is Jeremy's standard when anybody calls to complain. I'm telling you, if he knew this was you, he would have said something.
I think you're right.
Immediately.
I see, hearing it now, it sounds different than when I was doing it.
And keep in mind, like he says, he's already called down here to D.C.
Right.
To find out if we've done anything like get into Regis's voicemail.
Absolutely.
Again, right? So he's saying to Regis, I've already looked into this.
Absolutely.
There's nothing that's happened.
I don't know. All I know is the production manager, Rob Stein, was supposed to cover this, and he wanted me to call, not to speak to you, but he wanted me to speak to Ken Stevens, and just see if we could take care of it.
Right. You want me to call him? You have a number for him?
No, we don't have the number for Rob Stein right here. Rob Stein is down right now in New York.
Right. I mean, I'll walk over there. I'm in New York as well. I'll walk over there and talk to him and try and take care of
that. That would be a good idea. Actually, if you could have a face-to-face with him, we could maybe rectify the whole situation.
Sure. Where is he?
He's over at the ABC studios.
Okay. How would I get in, do you know?
The best way to get Rob Stein, let me give you a number.
Okay.
All right. It's on the Avenue of the Americas. You know where that is, right?
Right.
All right, the best way to get to him is to call this number.
Just so you know, right now when this is going up, when we're supposed to be coming up with, Rob and I are kind of like flying around. Mm-hmm. Hands are going back and forth. Rob is feeding me like information.
But you're
I don't know what, right now.
You actually have the phone number to Regis and Kathy Lee, right? Is that what you give Mike?
I gave Mike the number to ABC. Yeah.
Right, the ABC number. And I'll tell you right now, we're right now, because Jeremy's getting a little crafty here, and and so this is where it ends.
I checked with our people. It's not us, but... I'll see if I can.
Let me give you this number, too. This is another number, 212-1000.
Got it.
As for Rob Stein, he's Regis, it's the Millionaire Show.
Right. Congratulations, by the way, on last night.
Thank you. All right, can you do that for me?
I'll take care of it now.
Thank you very much, Mr. Goldstein.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's very nicely done.
Yeah. There we go. Oh, man.
It's only too bad we couldn't get a hold of the jackal, but it was almost as fun hearing you go through the myriad of numbskulls who work for this company.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, great.
That's great.
Yes, WNAW. Hello, Regis. This is Josh.
There you go.
Okay. Well, you know, that'll get back to Ken at some point.
Oh, of course it will.
And he'll be upset because we're not even supposed to talk about the whole Regis thing on the radio anymore.
Of course we're not.
Oh, it's great.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Richard, what were you doing?
Going over some documents.
Where are they? Jeez, I don't see them.
They're in my briefcase. I thought you were getting pizza.
They were closed. How could you be reading documents when they're in your briefcase? That's a mystery.
Richard, were you watching Spank Provision?
Okay, then, let's hit it.
Maybe you were watching a movie with that funny comedian. Oh, what's his name? Buddy Wackett?
All right, then, let's get some showtime.
Hey, that's a pretty girl down there.
Good for her.
Geez, I wonder if she goes out with one of the Yankees.
Couldn't tell you.
Richard, who's your favorite little rascal? Alfalfa? Or is it Spanky? Sinner.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
Are you stupid or something?
Well, Mike, it seems that everybody is hepped up on goofballs, waiting for the episode of today's radio drama. So,
as the world they heard.
Why don't we just get to that right now?
Very
right.
Good.
I do have a script for you, Mike.
Thank you,
Robbie. Here's yours. If you would run, did I give you two? Yeah, run that over to Buzz. Right. And I think everybody will be pleased to know that Charles Broyhill, Mike, please don't read ahead.
I have to do a little prep. You
no,
know, just to,
no,
to
no,
give
no,
the
no, no,
emoting,
no,
you know.
No. It's best if it's just a dry read.
Very good.
The role of Charles Broyhill as the editor for the Washington Star has been written out of the episode.
Ah, very good. Okay.
So Broyhill will not appear in today's episode so as not to have the anvil effect and drag us down. Buzz, right before we get into this, do you have that ridiculous list of the 100 movies by AFI?
I do indeed.
Great. Need it in a moment because I want to talk about that. I knew you would have it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Buzz. The very reliable Buzz. Okay. Are you ready, everybody, for today's episode? Let's cue our announcer.
It's time for yet another episode of As the World Aherns. When we last left them, the Aherns family was sitting down to a nutritious meal of grilled cheese and grape juice when our hero Frank received a mysterious call from the editor of his newspaper. Frank hangs up the phone, turns to his parents, and says,
"Oh, no! If that crusty old editor lets my secret out, my career as a pseudo-journalist will be over before it even gets started."
Francis, you have Velveeta all over your chin, dear.
Sorry, Father.
Son, which of your many dark secrets did he find out about, boy? Did he find out about your fascination with Hugin excrement on that scatlover.com website you're always on?
No, Father. That's no secret. My intense love of DMs is common knowledge in many communities.
Francis, dear, you seem to be sitting in a puddle of grape juice.
Sorry, Father.
Well, damn it all, what secret did he find out about, boy? Tell me, you worthless pansy!
Please don't yell at me, Father, sir! Don't make me cry again!
Tell me now or I will take away your needlepoint privileges!
Okay, Father, anything but that. Do you remember when I applied to that computer dating service?
Yes, Francis, we remember.
Well, I got a reply, and my editor opened it, and, well, now he knows the truth!
So tell us already!
He knows I've never been on a date. On a date with a girl, that is.
Well, Father, that's really no surprise, considering...
Considering what? Ma, Pa, is there something I should know?
Yes, son, there is. Now that you're in your 30s, you should be told. Frank?
Yes, Father, sir?
Frank, You're not like the other boys.
Tell me about it.
Mother, please! Frank!
Mother, please,
oh, sorry,
Frank.
I read your line, Daddy.
Mother, please, Frank, everybody. I'm going to tell him the truth.
Good.
Frank, the truth is, you, Frank Aherns, have no genitals whatsoever.
But, Father, I look normal from the waist down. Just like all the Ken dolls that I enjoy collecting.
Francis, honey, those dolls are not anatomically correct.
Oh.
She's right, son. You might have realized you were different by now. Except for the fact that you've never been in any kind of a locker room. Because you neither understand nor enjoy sports of any kind.
That's true. I just love spending time alone in my creepy, dark basement room.
And, Frank, you never encountered a public shower due to your extreme phobia and intense hatred of personal hygiene.
Right again, Mother dear. Well, I guess that explains having no sex drive towards the female sex.
Not to mention the fact that you are the biggest pussy anyone's ever met. You have no balls in any sense of the word.
Yes, Father. I guess I'll resign myself to being a disgrace to the family. The family name of Ahearns, if such a thing is possible.
Only if your secret gets out, son.
Your father's right, Francis. Everyone that's ever met you may hate you, but that's not because you have no genitals whatsoever.
Right, Bob? They hate me because I'm a complete asswipe.
Right you are, my worthless eunuch offspring.
Don't think that crusty, hard-boiled editor's going to let my secret out. The word at the newspaper is that he's going to be replaced anyway.
Well, why is that, dear?
Because it turns out he can't read!
Well, son, don't worry. We'll look to get you an implant that will make you feel better.
You mean a prosthetic vagina?
Son, if it's not a penis, it's not a deal.
Oh, gee whiz. Okay, Dad.
I tell you what, let's change the subject.
Oh, yes, let's do.
Say, did you hear that fabulous Don and Mike radio show today?
Oh, no, sir. I only like radio from the 1920s, and I like little boys.
What was that, son?
I said it sounds like a lot of noise, Mother. I mean, how many times can you hear them drooling over a naked girl or making fart jokes?
Well, Frank, as for myself and every other red-blooded American male, we love the sex show and never tire of it.
Well, I don't care what everyone thinks. I'm the radio critic, and I know what's best. NPR rocks my world.
Just then, someone at the door.
Who is that? We're not expecting anyone.
Well, actually, Mother, that would be my friend, Sergio.
Oh, is that nice, muscular young man who's always dressed in buttless leather chaps?
Yes, Mother.
You know, there's something queer about that young man, but I can't seem to put my finger on it.
Believe me, Father, he's as right as rain. We're going out dancing tonight at an exciting but dimly lit club near DuPont Circle in the District of Columbia.
That's nice, dear. Maybe he'll bring home a nice girl.
Don't count on it, Mother.
Join us next time when we hear Frank say,
well, gee whiz, I haven't been in an emergency room since my incident with the bowling trophy and the Vaseline.
Only on As the World Ahearns.
Well, there you go, boys.
Excellent job.
There you go.
What a fantastic episode.
Sorry I broiled your line earlier.
That's okay. No problem.
No problem. Another fantastic episode of the Dynamite Players of Radio Drama, as requested in Afternoon Drive by the radio critic from the Washington Post.
Marvelous. I enjoyed doing that.
Wait until tomorrow's episode.
Yes, it's a rapidly developing plot.
Yes. Yeah. Tomorrow, well, I don't want to give away the plot, but you know, they do a tease at the end of the soap operas.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, Frank goes to the doctor.
Oh, yes.
And we also hear about the emergency room incident.
Oh, my God.
All of that on tomorrow's episode of As the World Ahearns.
A real 1920s radio drama.
And, you know, just for him, we're doing it just as he requested. With
yeah, sure.
With the hokey organ music, and we try to work some jive sound effect in. Today it was the doorbell.
Excellent.
Tomorrow we're going to try to figure out some way to get, like, a horse, you know, the clomp, clomp, clomp of a horse coming through. And instead of using a sound effect record, we're actually going to have Rob stand there with empty coconut shells.
Yeah, just like they used to do it.
And have them beat him on a piece of wood.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Maybe at some point we can have a thunderstorm. You know, just like the old radio drama.
Like so many possibilities.
Absolutely.
When you're dealing with live, spontaneous radio theater.
Probably be a thunderstorm when his father finally kicks him out of the house.
when anything can happen during live radio drama.
I love it.
You know, that's so good. We might have to repeat that later in today's show.
I agree.
Just to make sure that it gets back to him. I mean, I hate repeating stuff, but maybe we'll have an encore performance later in the show.
That'd be wonderful. Yeah. You know, they used to do that in the old radio dramas.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey. You guys, I'm beginning to think Ahearn's right. I'm enjoying this soap opera stuff so much.
Yeah, very good. That's good. Well, I think we're bringing it up into the 1990s for you, in the 2000s, I should say.
All right, we're taking a time-tested radio treat, as he suggested in his column yesterday in the Post.
And we're modernizing it.
Yes, we are. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey,
what did you do, sir? What did you do?
I called up his...
Please, for the love of God, turn your radio down.
Okay. I called his voicemail. Left it on his voicemail for you.
You called who? The radio critic for the Post?
Yeah, Ahearns.
You left him a message?
No, I let him listen to you guys. I left your message, your play on there for him.
He was on the line live?
No, he wasn't there.
Oh, I got what this guy said. What this guy's saying is he recorded our show yesterday with the radio drama.
No, I just did it now live.
Oh, I got you. So as we were doing it on the radio,
right.
You held the telephone to the radio and recorded it immediately on his voicemail.
Right, put it right on his voicemail.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Sure, have a good day.
Yeah, we're mobilizing the troops.
Excellent.
Mobilizing the Kith Army.
That's terrific.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Hi, my name's Megan. I'm from Vienna, and I'm at work, and we were talking with coworkers today, and we were thinking about what food group would eggs be in and why.
You were thinking about what, honey?
What food group eggs are in. We were talking about it at work, and we couldn't figure it out.
It's a protein.
Meat and protein.
Right. So would they be dairy or poultry?
What food group is what?
Eggs.
Eggs?
It would be poultry.
It would be poultry.
Comes from birds. Comes from chickens.
Right. But isn't it in the dairy section?
No, dairy would be a milk product.
Right.
It's in the dairy
section. Cheese or cream. Because it doesn't matter what section of the grocery store it's in.
Right. But you know, on the...
What office is this that... where you were having this incredibly riveting discussion?
Actually, it's an insurance company.
It's an insurance company.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. You don't. It's not like you're solving the world's problems.
Because all you do every day at an insurance company is just look at a stack of claims. You just stamp no on all of them.
Right,
and then you have time to ponder the deep thoughts in this world, like
about eggs.
What are eggs?
I think anybody that's had come in contact with the insurance world. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you know, people can do it. You can get, trained gerbils to do it.
They are not the brightest crayons in the Crayola 64 pack.
They make a ton of money in that business, but, you know, it's pretty standard stuff.
But, in the food pyramid, under dairy, isn't that where the eggs are?
She's focused.
She is stuck on this.
Are you talking about a little, like, cartoon that you saw, like, in a food book, a children's food book?
I have my health book in front of me, and I actually looked it up.
Your health book?
Yeah, and you know the food pyramid. You know,
how do I get one of them health books?
All right, there's meats and poultry.
Uh-huh.
There's dairy.
Right.
There's grains and cereals.
Right.
There's vegetables.
Right.
How many is that?
And
four?
Fruits.
Fruit, that's five. Right,
these
are five.
Sweets at the very top.
What?
And then there's sweets at the very top.
Sweets
and fats. You're sparing
and whole grains.
Okay, I didn't know that. I didn't know that sweets counted as one of our five basic foods.
Sweets and fats.
Yeah. What they've actually done
I'm sweets.
And I'm fats.
Good morning, everybody.
Good to see you.
They've changed it actually from even when we were youngsters. It was four food groups. They've split up fruits and vegetables, and they've made it into a pyramid now. And this is like only in the past few years.
Really?
Who gives a frig?
That's what I pay my nutritionist for.
So really?
Is egg... Egg is in meats and poultry,
yes.
Right?
Yes, of course.
Yes.
It's not dairy.
No.
Dairy is simply exactly what it says.
No.
Dairy is milk products.
Yeah,
right?
And cheese is actually a protein, too, so cheese falls under meat.
But, well, cheese falls under
dairy.
Meat.
Yeah, according to the food pyramid.
Brains, of course.
What about
Ed knows all this.
What about the $100,000 pyramid? That's a pyramid I am fully equipped to discuss on this show.
Yeah, but if we were discussing that, we'd have to have our wrists tied down.
And say, so long, everybody.
That's right.
All right, goodbye, you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Go reject some more claims.
Right. Somebody who's like dying and wants some extra medicine.
You knew she was trouble because she said she works for an insurance company.
Insurance. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I got a proposition for you.
Okay, what's that?
I know the secret sound.
I'm sure you do.
I'm sure I do. And I'm in California, so obviously I can't come down there and get my head shaved.
Right.
How about we set something up with KHTK?
Right.
Down to their station and do it.
Right. That's a great idea. We'll rearrange our entire schedule and have...
No, just so you have a witness. I can put it live on the air real quick.
No.
Yeah, it's definitely too much trouble.
No, right. That was my whole point. No, sorry about that.
What can we here in California do?
Absolutely nothing.
You can be caller number 100.
I've been trying for weeks. I know
that. A lot of people have.
Or, get on a bus.
Did you see the... Toya asked me what I thought it was. Did you look at the card? Did she write it down?
No, Ian, we're not going to take your guess.
No, listen, Toya...
Yeah, don't worry.
Toya and Lisa are the last people in the world who know what the secret sound is.
No, she didn't confirm it.
And it wouldn't matter if
she
you did.
Hey, sir, ask her if I got it right.
It wouldn't matter if you did say it. We have a delight.
No, I'm not going to. I know you'll just, beep it out.
You know, guys like this, I wish... I really
it's guys that don't want to wait in line. It's guys that don't want to play the game by the rules.
I really wish that you lived...
Five times a day for the last 3 weeks.
Okay, well, then here's what you do. Like I say, buy a bus pass. Greyhound will take you anywhere in the country for $89. Make a two-day bus trip. We'll see you Friday. Come on in.
It'll be guessed by then, especially with your clues. It's so obvious.
Right, well, it hasn't been guessed for the last 3 weeks. How long have you known him?
Probably only about a week and a half.
Well, and the odds are he doesn't know it, because as we said with the other people that have had their heads shaved, they come in here and they're positive they know it, and then they say, is it a staple gun?
Yeah. Is it a briefcase opening or closing?
You're probably right, because I hear those guys and think, oh, you know, they're idiots, so
you're
I end up getting my head shaved.
Listen, you're one of those guys.
That's the great thing about the contest.
I probably would end up getting my head shaved, so why don't you let me go down to KHTK here and try it?
That's the great thing about the contest. Everybody is sure they know, but no, that's simply too much trouble for us.
All right.
Thank you.
Anyway, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Well, say what you will about this contest, it does. People do go nuts about it.
They sure do.
I'm just like everybody else. I'm dying to know what it is.
Yeah.
But I don't have an idea. I don't have a clue.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, how are you guys?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Well, I've called with a complaint.
Thank you.
Oh, good.
Okay. You guys, we know, we go to great effort here in Bakersfield to listen to the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, and we thank you for being number one.
Yeah, I was shocked and stunned, though, to listen to an utter insult roll from your lips.
What was which insult was that, sir?
We don't grow artichokes in Bakersfield.
That was me, sir. I said that. I thought you grew artichokes.
Okay, for the record, we need to qualify this. We grow cotton in Bakersfield.
There are no artichokes in Bakersfield at all.
No, that would be Monterey.
Monterey.
Okay.
Yeah. I am terribly sorry.
This is about
cotton.
This is about as fascinating as the woman who wanted to know if eggs were on the meat chart of the pyramid.
Rob, what food group is cotton in?
Well,
everyone.
You know,
it's in sweets. Candy.
Cotton candy.
Goodbye.
You're probably wearing something from Bakersfield as we speak.
I am wearing a cotton shirt. So, Don, are you wearing a cotton shirt?
The only thing I'm wearing from Bakersfield is a stain that your mom left.
Oh.
On my underpants.
I told my mom it was a big stain.
It was gigantic. It's actually multicolored. It's kind of red, kind of orange, with a little crimson in it.
Yes, the textures and colors of the stain are multifold.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, and I know my mom wasn't cheap. I know she charged you at least $10.
Oh. Hey,
kudos to this
guy. I'll give you credit. And you're right. She did. She did.
Adios. Hasta la bye-bye.
All right. See you.
And he's
you
gone.
Know, I swear to God, I would not complain one iota if all of our idiot callers were like that guy.
Absolutely. The guy that gets the joke.
That guy was okay. He really was. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, radio guy.
Hey, buddy.
I'm stuck down here in Louisiana, knee-deep in Bubba Teeth.
Right.
They moved me down here from Richmond. They can't be too bad. They got your show, so I'm able to catch it.
Thank you, my friend.
Listen, now, how come none of the ladies ever call and cook the soup anymore? They need to stir that soup up.
Ah, you're looking for a soup stirrer, huh? You know, it's funny, when we get a call like this, usually on the same day, a woman will call and stir the soup.
Or a guy will call and pretend to be a girl.
Oh, I mean, it's not like y'all have that lady up in Vermont that was trying to get y'all off. That bitch is gone now.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
He said he was from Michigan and he was transferred down. He had that Louisiana sound.
Yes. Well, they all do, Mike.
Oh, Richmond. Richmond.
They all do as soon as they move down there. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
I just wanted to let you know right now, your wife is giving me a dad. Come on, Frida, don't stop. Don't stop. He's at work everywhere. Make sure he sleeps on this side of the beach sheets tonight, all right? Stop, girl. You're going to put me in an accident.
Wow. There's a listener doing his own radio play.
Oh, Jesus.
What's wrong with people?
At least you're doing it to somebody.
There you go.
I appreciate that. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, can I speak with Rob, please?
With Rob Spielberg?
Yes, please.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Rob, although our conversation was short but brief the other week when you were taking phone calls, I do feel that our relationship has matured and grown, but I did forget to tell you one thing.
What?
Eat one!
That's not very nice. I don't like you. Don't hang up on me! I am Rob Bay!
Rob.
That's who I am. Rob Spiewak. You know who Rob. I am? I'm Rob.
Rob.
Try not to step on Rob again. Come on.
Rob.
Say it to me, baby.
Not homo, Rob.
Daddy.
Rob.
Rob. Me.
Daddy Rob.
Don't you dare hang up on me.
On May.
Rob.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, what is the website address?
The website for what?
For all the pictures.
Oh, it's www.xpose.com.
X-P-O...
S-E-D.
ED.com.
And if you go there, you will be able to see Charlie Broyhill's birthday party, Frida getting the stripper on her birthday,
right.
And I know that the pictures of the third trimester bikini contest are also up.
Yes, they are.
Who's this?
Okay. Listen, never mind. Just never mind. Goodbye. I'm the guy telling you the way it is.
There it is.
As John Travolta said in Get Shorty.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Enough of that for now.
Enough of that tomfoolery and hijinks.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, I'm sure you're wondering why I'm here.
Well, I think you're here because you want to know why I'm not fighting back. Because despite it all, you got some odd sense of fair play. And you're kicking my ass. Gone from feeling like easy pickings to out and out bullying.
I just feel like there should be some back and forth between us, you and the committee.
I give you back and forth on Social Security, relations with Israel, on the Dow Jones, the census, almost everything, but not this. No, not my personal life. It's just nobody's business.
Well, that's not what the people will tell you. The people will tell you that it is their business.
You know what? You're young. It's okay. It's okay. You're young. And I'm just going to choose to be amused by your naivete, give you the benefit of the doubt.
The Don and Mike Show. Hold them. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Look, I'm going to take drugs if I want to, and I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to do exactly what I want to do. And if my little 10-year-old daughter's there when I'm high, I don't care.
Duke?
Hello?
Here's Duke calling us from Temple Hills, Maryland.
That's right.
Duke, what made you decide to call our show today and solicit for a white woman?
Well, I've been listening to your show for a little while.
Yeah.
And I see that you have some real nice guests, that nice people that called in.
Uh-huh.
And I just thought, since you always say that you're the whitest soul brothers there are, I think
are.
Maybe you know.
Tragically white, Duke.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Hold on, brother man.
Sure.
Hold on. Now we're going to go trolling and see. I see a bunch of lines on hold.
Good.
I don't know if these are women for Duke. I know. I'll tell you this as we play our radio roulette on one of these telephone lines, Dennis Murphy.
What a surprise that is.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to tell Duke that he's confused.
Oh, okay. Why do you think he's confused?
Because why, if he's a black man that sounds successful, why does he need a white woman? And especially if you say all women are basically the same, what's
well,
the
aren't
problem?
They? Don't y'all have the same parts?
Exactly. So why does he need a white woman? Then he's going to go in a city like Washington, D.C., and where all these single black women are successful women, and he's going to go on a national radio
now,
show.
Hold on. I'll let you yell at him.
Yeah,
hold
you
on
need to lecture Duke. Yeah.
Hold on a second. I don't mind this if she yells at him a little bit. Hey, Duke.
Hello.
Duke, this is Jody, and she wants to yell at you.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Jody.
Why do you feel that you need a white woman, Duke? If you're successful, why don't you share that with one of your fellow sisters, especially in this area where there's a lot of black women who are looking for a good black man?
Yeah, I understand that, but a lot of times a black woman is looking for a man with money.
No,
they're not looking for anything else. You know what I mean?
Race is such a kooky topic, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
With, you know, I'm not.
We embrace it on this show.
There is. What, get married, business, or anything like that. I just want to have some fun.
Hey, Jody, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Who's the celebrity that you think you most resemble?
Well, I'm about 5'6". I weigh 130, and people tell me all kinds of people. I've heard Robin Givens. I've heard Diana Ross.
Ooh.
I've heard a lot of different things, but I have my own face.
Hey, Duke.
I'd lean towards the first one rather than the second one.
Sure.
I mean,
well,
Diana Ross.
I'm very happily married, so I'm not looking
for. Oh, you're happily married.
No, I have a sister who's single. I have a lot of friends who are single. And if he's so successful, then he should share that success with one of his fellow sisters.
Duke, what do you have to say to that?
No, I'm not looking to get married right now.
Diana Ross is very skeleton-like also.
She is very emaciated.
She was even when she was a young singer with the Supremes. Right. I guess it was around the time of Love Child when she started expanding her huge fingernails.
Yes.
I mean, you want to talk
so
about...
So long that they curl underneath.
Major Bell would love those fingernails.
Oh, I tell you, Diana Ross, all the women are jealous of Diana Ross. Her nails grow.
Well, listen, Jody.
Yes.
Oh, I guess you just called to yell at Duke.
Yeah, and Duke seems to want what he wants, Jody. I don't know whether you can talk him out of it.
Well, I'm not really trying to talk him out of it. I have nothing against interracial couples. I have friends that are interracial, but the fact that he just said that just kind of struck me funny. I'm at work, and it just
gotcha.
Made me pause and say, what is he saying? National radio in this area, when I know, like I said, a lot of black women who are looking for a good black man.
Looking for love.
Exactly.
Sure.
All right, gotcha.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jody.
Thanks,
bye.
Jody. Bye-bye.
All right. Don't let her rain on your parade, dude. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. We'll find you a girl here.
All right.
All right. That's line number four.
You just tuned in. Duke is looking for a white woman.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Never had one before.
Right.
Hello?
Hello?
He's been with lots of black women and also lots of Koreans.
Don and Mike Show.
That's what he told us.
Hello?
We're not making this up.
All right,
simply, we're simply relaying the facts as we are told.
There was a woman. She hung up. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, since we're talking about race, I thought I would call up. I think I'm whiter than you, Don. I think I'm a bigger honky.
I don't think so. No bigger cracker than me.
I'm willing to come down.
And Mike is a very close, a nano inch behind me.
Let's tell the truth. You and I are battling constantly because we both think each other is white.
Who's the whitest?
I think Duke is actually Barry White. Listen to his voice. That's Barry White.
That's not. There's no way Duke is Barry White.
No. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Well, look who's come. Look, the fly is in the ointment, ladies.
Today's events begun to turn around the public's perception. Here's Dennis Murphy.
Hi, King. How are you doing today?
That tape still cracks me up. That is Jane Pauley.
Now, today's events begun to turn around the public's perception. Here's Dennis Murphy.
Hello, King. How are you doing?
Well, Dennis, someone asked us if you were coming with us to Sacramento. We said,
well,
of course not.
It's not. Official, but I called the manager out in Sacramento.
Oh, please, Dennis, we're having enough problems with that station. Please don't call the management of that station.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you did? Did you already call him?
I called him Wednesday.
God, Dennis, you know how many times you say, I called him, I called him,
I guess I wouldn't the
Did
wouldn't
you
I.
talk to him? Did you talk to him?
Huh? Yeah, I got with him, and he said, let me call you back.
Oh, yeah, okay. In other words, drop dead. Okay.
You have a good weekend, but...
Gotcha.
I like to meet that lady from Sacramento if I do come out.
God, you horn dog.
That's the lady, you mean the soccer mom, Dennis?
No,
the woman that asked about him.
Oh, that's right.
If I was coming out.
I guess we're just thinking about the soccer mom.
You know what?
That's a good speech.
The soccer mom sounds pretty interesting.
Well, they all sound interesting to you, Dennis.
Hey, Don?
Yes, Dan.
Hope you have a good show on Sunday.
Hey, Dennis, you ever think about maybe having sex with a black guy?
No.
No?
No.
You sure? You know what they say?
Huh?
Once you had black,
You'll
never go back.
Oh, I had it before.
Remember when you went out with the gay guys there, Dennis?
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You didn't have a bad time.
You've never had sex with a black person. You have only had sex with one person, and that's the lady we set you up with.
Well, a couple of women.
Wait a minute.
I can't get into it.
Oh, no,
I think I know where you're going with this, Dennis.
Really?
Yeah.
You made your name on our show as a lifelong virgin, and now you...
No, but the thing is,
All right, hold on, Dennis. Let me get rid of Duke.
Hold on.
Yeah, so that's a much hotter story. Mm.
Dennis is like a book that has secret compartments.
Hey, listen, Duke.
Yeah.
Duke, I'm sorry. We're into this thing with Dennis now, and we got a whole schedule today. Call next week, and maybe we'll be able to find you a nice white woman.
Oh, okay.
Definitely call us back, and we'll set it up for you.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Bye-bye,
Duke.
Bye.
All right, there goes Duke.
Kind of puts the kibosh on his weekend, but he'll call back next week.
Soul Brother Duke.
Good things are worth waiting for.
Let me find out now about honky Dennis Murphy.
Yeah, Dennis Murphy talking to us about some hot interracial love.
Hold on, here's your intro.
Have today's events begun to turn around the public's perception? Here's Dennis Murphy.
So you had sex with black women?
No, just one.
When did you have sex with a... Who cares if she's black? When did you have sex with a woman?
A year ago?
And I thought we were friends. What? What?
Dennis, now look. Tell us what's going on. What is that sound? Did a marble fall on the floor?
Oh, no. I'm bouncing a quarter on the table.
Oh, you're very nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis, how could it be that you had sex and you didn't tell us about it?
Mike doesn't like to talk about it.
Well, unfortunately, Mike brings a lot more to the show, Dennis, than you do. So Mike is allowed not to talk about his personal life if he doesn't want to. However, Dennis, you're kind of known on our show as
the horn dog.
And if this happened a year ago, which I should point out, a year of heavy Dennis Murphy time on the show.
How many times have we trolled for you trying to find you women?
What are you doing, dribbling that quarter on the table right now?
Yes.
When did you meet this woman?
Huh?
When did you meet her?
Oh, well, I never flew on. She's a quaint.
Was this a professional exchange, Dennis?
No. So you didn't pay her?
Well,
did you pay her or not?
You could say that.
Dennis, did this activity occur in your car?
It happened at your home?
Don't you live with your mom and, or you're like your grandma or something? You had sex with a black woman in your grandma's house and you didn't pay, or did you pay?
I did.
You did pay.
So this was a hooker?
No, I'm not a girl. She was short of money.
Wow.
Wait a minute.
Wow.
Wait a minute.
You paid the girl to have sex with you?
How much did you pay? $10? Let's play The Price is Right. $100.
Yeah.
$100.
Shocking.
How did it come about, Dennis?
Dennis, hold on. You know what?
What?
You've just earned your dream. You're going to get a second segment on the show.
Yeah, baby.
Really?
Yeah, hold on a second.
I don't want to.
Hold on, Dennis. Hold on.
Oh, God.
Hold on.
He'll hang on. He doesn't care.
Unforgivable that he cannot discipline himself.
Doesn't matter to Dennis.
We'll be right back. Dennis, I want to tell you something.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm standing here listening to you do your phone call.
And yeah.
You call up out of the blue and you say, hey, listen, I had sex with a black woman, with a black lady, and then you say that she was a prostitute.
She's an acquaintance.
Okay.
She needed the money, and that's why you gave her $100 and she had sex with you.
Okay, well, I will tell you something. That when I came back into the studio, I had a cold slap in the face of reality from my friend Mike.
Yes.
Who operates one fantastic crap detector. Well, listen, I'll let Mike talk.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything at first. I had thought that. And then Charles Broyhill and I were discussing during the break that perhaps this entire story is made up because, Dennis, I know what you love more than women. More than sex, more than money, more than anything. You like your airtime. And I think perhaps you concocted this story just to get on the air.
Mike, I'm telling the truth.
Really?
Yeah.
Then I'm going to have to get the woman on the air.
No, I can't.
That's a good speech.
Dennis, I think you love being on the radio.
No, but like...
And I think you would have told us right away. You would have told us before that.
Hold on, let me play your intro again.
Have today's events begun to turn around the public's perception? Here's Dennis Murphy.
Thank you, Jane. Let me say that Mike has built up some credibility in my mind and in everybody's minds.
Yeah.
You know, with his crap detector, with his famous crap detector.
Thank you. Yeah, I've had a few hits with the crap detector, and this just sounds, especially the way you stammer all the time, and you have trouble telling stories all the time, but this time it sounded like you were, like, pulling facts out of the air.
I'm coming to you, Mike.
Then you're going to have to prove it to us, and you're going to have to supply us with this woman.
Then take us through the details, Dennis. Take us through how it happened.
See, that
would indicate to me
that speech.
You're trying to make it up, and you're having trouble because you're not really good at that.
Okay. She's
an acquaintance that you met.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I knew her for a year or two. And I'm telling you the truth, Mike.
Do you work with her?
Well, I can't.
Did you meet her professionally or socially?
Through work.
What?
Through work.
Work. Through work. She works with you?
Well, she used to.
Where is she now, Dennis?
She moved to North Carolina.
Moved to North Carolina.
Okay.
That was pretty quick.
You go...
That was quicker than your brain normally works, Dennis.
Hold on, Dennis. I have to listen to some of your peers, who I imagine are now all calling to tell us to cancel you from the show like they do every time that you do anything.
Hold on.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show. I guess, are people calling about Dennis? Hello?
Yeah, Don.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Last year, remember Dennis had that terrible rash?
Yes.
Do you think that this woman would have sex with him if she saw this rash?
I don't think the rash plays into anything.
Although he did have a great rash about a year ago.
Yeah, but I mean, she wouldn't. I mean, I think Dennis is lying. I love Dennis, but I don't think this woman would have sex with him if she saw this terrible rash.
All right, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, this is Brady.
Hello, Brady.
Hey, I was wanted to let you guys know that Dennis had his rash about a year ago.
What's
didn't
the
he?
Second rash call that we've had?
Had a rash of calls.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, all of our detectives are working on this. All of our private dicks out there. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, I remember about 9 months ago or so, Dennis alluded to something like this on the show, and y'all quizzed him about some girl being in his house and about paying her some money for something, but he never alluded to having sex with her.
Really? I don't remember that. All right.
Well,
thank
that's
you.
Interesting. That's a new development.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show. It's the trial of Dennis Murphy. Hello. Oops. All right. Hold on.
That's right. Pretty soon, Dennis is going to be out back, hung from the highest tree.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I want to say, when Dennis called originally, and you guys mentioned to him about, or actually you guys brought up the fact of having sex with a black woman, he didn't really bring it up, so I'd have to say I believe him.
All right,
okay.
Thank you.
Very good.
All right. And let me see. How do I... Okay. Y-U-I-O-T-A. Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike Show.
If you'd like to make a...
Thank you, Rob. Hello.
Yeah, I think he's telling the truth.
You do?
Yes.
Why do you think he's telling the truth?
Because maybe not every sexual encounter he wants on the air, because the lady will hear it, her friends would hear it, and she may be a tad bit ashamed.
You know who you're talking.
This may be true with your average person.
Right.
Dennis Murphy is not your average person.
He lives for being on the radio.
But maybe just one time.
No, one time
he had to think of her decency and decided.
That is a word that never
like
crosses Dennis' lips.
No way.
He's not a decent boy.
The morality defense has been rejected.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I believe him.
A lot of people believe him.
Why you believe him?
Well, because he was stuttering and stammering, and because he was embarrassed about it.
See, I will tell you that I think he might have been stuttering and stammering because he was trying to concoct this story, this fable.
He's not that creative.
No, that's why. That's why he's stammering. But
you
but
said concoct.
Yeah. You remember we said North Carolina very quickly, though.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
Couldn't have Dennis gotten the rash from her?
There's the rash again, rearing its ugly head.
Certainly anything is possible.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi, listen, Dennis may be a lot of things. He's a little wild and crazy, but I don't think Dennis is a liar. I really don't. Oh. I think Dennis is telling the truth. I'm John in Sacramento. You go, Dennis.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Everybody's got an opinion on Dennis.
Dennis, I will say, during the history, there have been times when Dennis has stretched the truth before.
Don and Mike Show.
Yes, Dennis was with me a year ago.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Well, I think that she gave Dennis the rash.
Okay. The rash. Right. Too much about the rash.
All right. Listen, Dennis.
Michael, come here, cool.
All right, then, Dennis, I'm going to need her phone. Not on the air, of course. But I'm going to need her phone number. I'm going to need her name. And I'm going to have to call her here to confirm that she had sex with you. It's all about credibility.
Otherwise, Dennis, you will go down as being a liar.
Mike, I'm calling you the coup.
Well, Dennis, that's the choice you have.
Then simply supply up the girl's phone number.
Okay, I have to find out where she is.
Right. See, there we go.
I thought she was in North Carolina.
Yeah, but she couldn't leave a forwarding number.
So if this was the Salem witch trials, Dennis would have just thrown this woman to the judge.
So you mean that this woman who you worked with left without a trace, nobody, you don't know where she works?
Well, actually, she, you know, like, I have a pay of $20.
That's a good speech. Now, wait a minute. Now the story's changing. So you had sex with her. You had sex with her five times? You had sex with her five times?
$100 initially, then probably three times for $20.
Did you get the same thing for $20 that you got for
$100? Yes.
How come the price went down?
I'm telling you, Kukan.
And this was at your house?
Right. Where was your grandma?
She was upstairs.
She was up. So you did it downstairs in, like, the TV room?
Yes.
Every time?
Yes.
Initial time, $100. Every time after that, $20?
Yes.
Really?
Wow.
You paid for it. How come you didn't tell us? You had no problem when we paid for the hooker for you out in Reno. Yeah.
So this was something. How did the whole thing start? Did she approach you or did you approach him?
Well, actually, she was having financial problems.
Yeah, you said that before. So did she approach you or did you approach her?
So she says, I'm having some problems with money, and did you say, hey, would you like to have sex with me?
No. She told me, would you like to go to dinner one night because I need to talk to you about something? And I said, no.
She said, can I prostitute myself to you?
No. Listen, I said, yeah, but I have been known to have, a magical touch with massages.
That's a good speech. You said that to her, or
yeah,
she said that?
Yeah, and then she said, well, we gotta go to the hotel for that. But she said, why don't we leave my place?
So the whole time that we thought that you've been high and dry, you've been Mr. Sex Maniac.
The last time I had it was April of 1997.
So you're sitting there talking about the hotel and massages.
Hotel,
and then when
motel, Holiday Inn.
Dennis, shut up.
Yeah.
When did the money come into it?
She got in the money factor.
How?
Mm-hmm.
How?
I'm a little short of money.
She's a little short of money.
And I said, how much do you need? And she gave me a figure. Okay.
What do you mean? But was it, she said she needed money. Were you loaning her money or was it, how did the whole thing work?
Did you have intercourse with her?
Yes, I did.
Full intercourse?
Yes.
Do you have any butt love?
No.
Well, in the money exchange,
did you do anything kinky?
No.
Really?
Natural.
Natural.
Natural. If that's possible.
You made her feel like a natural woman.
It's possible to have sex with Dennis and feel natural afterwards.
So she says she's short of money. You say, how much do you need? And then you said, I'll give it to you, but you want to have sex with me? How did that happen?
Come to my grandma's house.
No, she said, look what happened. She said, we have to go to a hotel.
That's a good speech.
I said, you have to go to a hotel.
Well, I said, no, you meet me at my place, and, we'll talk, and then...
Listen, Dennis, we thought we were friends.
God, I can't.
Dennis, if you cannot give yourself to the show 100%, then I'm sorry, Dennis.
Okay.
I thought you were true to the show.
So did I.
I'm cool, God. Really, I am cool. I don't still buy it.
You're not. There are important facts here, important things that would have happened that you're just not filling in the blanks well enough.
Come on, believe me. I am telling you the truth.
I believe you. I mean, you go out to dinner, she says, I'm short of money. How much do you need? Let's have sex?
And then afterwards, the price goes down, the price is reduced?
Because she needed money to pay bills.
Why, because you were so good?
No, I wasn't good, believe me. She was good. I'm still in the moment stage.
Who is the celebrity that she most resembles, Dennis?
Cicely Tyson.
He gets credit for that.
Well, listen, no offense to you, Mike. I believe him.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's tough.
But again, I got Mike's crap detector weighing very heavily.
But I'm not. My crap detector also isn't passionate about this.
Can you and I meet and I'll tell you a whole thing off there?
Yes, why don't you guys get to Dennis, why don't you meet Mike at Red Lobster tonight?
That's a terrific idea. I understand they have a shrimp special going on.
Oh, okay. But Mike, I need to get...
Dennis, I'd like to believe you, and I might still believe you. I just don't know whether
I believe you. Can you convince Mike?
Well, no, I don't believe you 100% myself, Dennis. But I want to believe you. I don't want to meet you off
exactly
the air.
Exactly what happened.
No, anything you have to say, you can tell us right here.
Okay, but exactly, that's what happened, but I'll tell you the whole shebang. I'll tell you everything that happened.
Oh,
you can tell us on the flight out to Sacramento.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going.
That's right, you're not going. All right.
But I'm calling you Kukan.
Sure you are, Dennis. Sure you are.
Just another chapter in the saga that is Dennis Murphy.
All right, thank you, Dennis.
My pitiful eyes.
Right, bye-bye.
You all have a good weekend.
All right. That's a good speech.
Right.
Bye.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
I can't figure him out either.
Yeah, listen, he just desperately wants to stay
on
the air. See? Hello? Oh, no. Hello? Am I still on?
I turned the microphones off. There you go.
There, see?
There he goes.
As soon as he thinks he's off, bingo.
All right. Hello?
Who knows? Who knows?
Dynamite Show.
Hi, this is Dean from Springfield.
Yes, hello, Dean.
I think Dennis is a liar.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's full of crap, man. He shares everything with the story until today. You know, now all of a sudden he's leading this secret sex life. He's a sex maniac and nobody knows it.
All right, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Gentlemen of the jury, I must say, if the glove didn't fit, you must have quit.
All right. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Yeah, precisely, Buzz. Hello.
Hello, am I on air?
Yeah.
Hey, I think Dennis is telling the truth because I think, you know, he always wants you guys to get on women, so I'm pretty sure that he wouldn't tell you because he wanted you to get on women.
No, see, I disagree because Dennis would tell us because anytime Dennis has even brushed against a woman in
right.
a crowd, he calls us and brags he is so proud about it.
I don't know, but he probably...
Dennis is like a dog. You know when a dog gets all excited and he can't help himself?
And we have clinically proven beyond a shadow of a doubt previously on this show that Dennis has a greater love than women and sex. He has a greater love, and that love is being on the show and talking about sex.
Not in my show.
You guys were so hard on him.
You said hard on him.
It was upsetting me.
Oh, sorry about that, sir. Maybe the show is a little too much for you.
No, it's not that. I mean,
maybe Dr. Laura's on.
I love listening to you guys.
We've been a lot harder on him in the past, you know.
You have.
Oh,
see,
yes.
That's just, I don't get a chance to listen to you guys.
Oh,
you
listen
I wish
a lot.
I could.
Oh, come on, you idiot.
Oh, no, I'm at work, you know. Why?
Come on, no, I don't want... Don't be a bleeding heart about Dennis Murphy. I mean, he deserves it.
We love Dennis.
Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
You know, what you got going on is Dennis is hemming and hawing because he thinks if you guys find out he can get it on his own, you're going to stop, you know, taking care of him, putting out for him.
No, if that was the case, he never would have
told
us.
Don't think so. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys forgot all about Mateo in Ocean City. Mateo the Taco King, he kicks ass.
Oh, come on.
Bye.
Come on. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Boring.
Hello?
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, I think he's telling the truth.
You do?
Yes, he's not exactly proud of what he did. You notice that?
Well, that's kind of Dennis's tone with everything, though.
But there have been entire broadcasts centering about Dennis Murphy not being proud about what he did.
Yeah, don't fall into the trap with Dennis at the end of a call when he goes, I've screwed it up.
Every time money came around, he was kind of hanging his head.
I'll tell you something. If I could prove it, I'd say that Dennis gave himself that rash.
Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
I'm driving to North Carolina this weekend. How many black women are there in North Carolina?
Well, you just have to find black women that look like Cicely Tyson.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, do you have the Football Hero song?
No.
You want to be a football hero?
No, come on, we're talking about Dennis Murphy. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, I'm a first-time caller. I was just calling to say hi.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I don't know, just share memories from when they were on 105.1. They did this... This April Fool's thing where they said that the Billy Bull concert is still going on.
You are talking to us now.
Oh, am I?
Yes, and we found that tape. The tape I just hung up on the guy for. Right on.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay. You guys, I went to school that day and was telling everybody about...
What is she talking about?
Something that happened 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was like 10 years ago when I was in high school and you guys did...
That was a good speech.
See, people should know all across America, we were touching lives even then.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, you know, I've been listening to you guys since Dennis first came on the air with the whole trash bag thing in New York.
Yeah, and that is the official beginning of Dennis, room 915.
I remember the show when you guys came back from New York and you were describing Dennis, and I've been listening to you guys ever since then. And, you know, all I have to say is that Mike's right. He loves his airtime. He likes to be on and all this other stuff. And I'm sitting here listening, and all the evidence that he can possibly prove that it's true is conveniently impossible to get to.
Yeah.
Our audience loves to convict, don't they?
Yes, they do.
You know, we got the most ball-busting audience. I love you people. This is why Marv Albert had to get a plea bargain.
Sure.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Goodbye. My God, such venom out there. Hang him and hang him high. All right. Well, we'll have to worry about that next week. Dennis, I know you're listening right now.
That's right.
I need the girl.
Yep.
Need the girl, Dennis.
Sure.
Otherwise, Dennis, you're finished.
Ooh,
you're history, Dennis.
Oh, my God.
Need the girl, Dennis.
That's right, Kim. Imagine, Dennis, if you will, No more airtime.
How about that, Dennis? And I really mean it this time. Swear to God. I'll at least say that when I mean it. So you better produce the girl, or you better come clean.
That's right, Dennis. You have two options here. To tell us the truth, we'll produce the girl.
Okay. Otherwise, kiss your Sioux City gigs goodbye.
Ouch.
You won't be selling any more snowmobiles in Sioux City. You won't be throwing out the first ball of the minor league baseball game.
No time in the hot tub out there.
That's right, with the Hooters girls.
No major appliances.
No more Delta.
You're through.
You're through, Murphy. All right, well, either way, Dennis will clear it up for us, I'm sure.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I believe in taking care of myself, in a balanced diet, and a rigorous exercise routine. In the morning, if my face is a little puffy, I'll put on an ice pack while doing my stomach crunches. Then I apply an herb mint facial mask, which I leave on for 10 minutes while I prepare the rest of my routine. I always use an aftershave lotion with little or no alcohol, because alcohol dries your face out and makes you look older. Then moisturizer. Then an anti-aging eye balm, followed by a final moisturizing protective lotion.
The Don and Mike Show. Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Out of it, back to pass. He's got a man open in the end zone. It's Joe Archer. The pass is there. He drops the ball. And the Eagles do not win the Super Bowl. And as we review this Super Bowl, it was all Joe Archer's fault.
Hey, do we have the scripts, Robbie?
Yeah, you want them?
Yeah, bring the scripts in.
Here we go.
I want to get right to this today because I know that many, many people are paying attention now to our daily soap opera, As the Ahern's Turns.
And I like the way you're trying to do it, like, at the same time, same station every day.
Yeah, well, I think it's important. Buzz, you have your script there?
Beautiful. Just now. Yeah.
All right, Mike, you'll be handed yours. I think you'll note that today Rob Spiewak is playing a slightly different role.
Yes, Rob cheated and told me what he was going to do today. I think it's a marvelous idea.
I will remain as Frank's father. Mike, you will remain as Frank. And today the role of Sergio will be played by Robay Spiewak.
All right, very good.
And I'm sure everybody by now knows the setup on this.
Sure.
This is dedicated to the guy at the Washington Post who suggested in his article a few days ago that our show be replaced with an afternoon drive time radio drama.
Absolutely.
So if we are ready, let's roll the organ music and cue our announcer.
It's time for yet another episode of As the World Ahern's. When we last left them, the Ahern's family had just received a deep, dark secret about our hero, Frank. They finally told him something that hadn't seemed to bother Frank for well over 30 years. They told him he had no genitals whatsoever. Frank actually seemed unfazed by this development. After all, he had never seemed to need genitals before, but deep down it started to trouble him. And so, uncharacteristically, Frank actually made a decision. He would not, as he told his family, go dancing in DuPont Circle with his chum Sergio. Instead, he would go to a local hospital to get an implant. We join Frank and Sergio as they arrive at a respected area hospital. Frank turns to his chiseled, handsome partner and says,
Sergio, once I get my fake penis, I'll be one step closer to being a well-respected pseudo-journalist. I have a long way to go, but at least I'll be able to pee standing up. I'm sorry, we've got to go to the emergency room for this, but I'm just too anxious to wait till morning. I want it now! I need a penis right now!
Right now, Senor Frank? We do it in the emergency room?
No, sweet Sergio. I need my implant.
Just then, the handsome interracial couple is approached by a brilliant staff physician.
Oh, I guess they played the doctor today, not Frank's father. So, what's all this, then? With all that yelling, my guess is that you're either a very lonely asexual eunuch, or you need an implant.
Actually, you're right on both counts, Doctor. Doctor...
Doctor Bandwidth.
Doctor...
Chip Bandwidth.
At your service.
Nice to meet you, Doc. This is my friend, Sergio.
Hello, young man.
See. And my name is Francis H. Ahearns, and I want to buy some plastic genitals.
Ahearns, Ahearns. Say, I know you. Aren't you that radio columnist for the Washington Star?
Why, yes, I am. Are you surprised to learn of my dilemma?
No, not really. I've actually done genital implants for dozens of radio columnists. You know, it's funny. None of them seem to have any balls.
Yeah, it sort of comes with the territory.
I see.
Before we get started on filling out your paperwork, I was wondering if you mind if I asked you a question about the radio industry. You know, some insider stuff?
Go ahead, Doc, but I doubt I'll be able to help you. I'm just an asexual peon who writes the radio column because I lost the bed at work.
Really?
Yep. Truth be told, I don't even like good radio. Oh, sure, I love stale radio dramas from the 1920s, and I occasionally listen to tired old West Coast classic rock stations over the internet, but if it's current or compelling or considered entertaining by the masses, I can't stand it.
Frankly, boy, I'm surprised.
Well, don't be. That's what makes me Frank Ahearns, the radio critic without a clue. But I'll try to answer your questions anyway, Doctor.
All right, here's my question. My question is about the Don and Mike radio show.
No, I hate them. All their talk about sex and women, who really likes that?
Actually, I do.
Oh.
And so do all of my friends.
Oh.
You see, boy, we're all well-educated, high-salaried professionals, and we never miss a minute of the highly entertaining, nationally syndicated Don and Mike show.
Oh.
In fact, aren't they consistently number one in the Arbitron ratings?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know how to read a ratings book.
Oh. Well, what do you know, boy?
I know I love All Things Considered on NPR.
But what about that fantastic spontaneous moment just yesterday on the highly entertaining Don and Mike show when their engineers got pulled over for speeding by an undercover cop? Why, that might have been the greatest bit of live radio I've ever heard.
Well, I guess I missed it. I don't get very good radio reception in my creepy, dark basement room, so I'd never listen. But that doesn't stop me from writing my idiotic column.
Now then, boy, about your surgery, I'll need some information. Name and occupation?
I'm Frank Ahearns, and I'm a pseudo-journalist and an internet webmaster.
Your address?
Scatlover.com.
No, I think he means your home address, Frank, darling.
Oh, right. 1313 Sodomy Circle in Gaithersburg.
And how will you be paying today?
My, HOMO should cover it.
Excuse me?
I said, my HMO will pay.
I thought only people with real careers got health insurance.
So, this isn't through my pretend job. I got it through our social club. It's a men's chorus.
See?
Now, I must warn you, boy, there may be some bleeding. Are you all right with that?
Oh, sure. I've seen lots of blood down there. I just got accustomed to the anesthesia. I normally just have a cranberry juice.
I see.
But I'm not nervous. I came to this hospital when I had my bowling trophy incident. And the mustard jar. And the light bulb.
And don't forget the 2-liter Pepsi bottle.
Just then, the doctor is approached by a lovely nurse who says,
"Pardon me, doctor. I have the test results from that car accident victim."
Thank you, nurse.
Not at all, Dr. Bandwidth.
Very interesting case. It seems this poor hapless retard was driving on U.S. Route 50 yesterday, calling someone on his cell phone and vigorously picking his nose when he was suddenly overcome with crippling homophobia.
Really, senor?
Yes, he suddenly thought that everything in the world was either gay or accusing him of being gay.
That's horrible.
Yes, it is. He just kept driving and picking and being homophobic until he drove right into a concrete abutment. He hit it so hard, he cracked his rectal vibrator.
So, is he
gay?
Yeah.
Yep. Gay as a $3 bill.
Uh-huh.
And these charts show no sign of brain activity.
That's horrible.
Not really. They were taken to a checkup before the accident happened. So, no damage.
Well, Doc, how about my new fake vagina?
Boy, don't you mean penis?
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, the soonest we could do it is next Wednesday, the 21st.
Let me check my schedule. Hey, I'm free. Let's do it.
What is that, boy, a palm pilot?
Sort of. It's called an anal almanac. I bought it in Greenwich Village. I'd never miss a date. Right, Sergio?
See.
Join us next time when we hear Dr. Bandwidth say...
Good God! I've never seen anything like this before! The testicles are rejecting the patient!
Only on As the World Ahearns.
Bravo! Here's another exciting edition.
Fantastic.
Of radio's number one continuing soap opera drama done in the old-fashioned style.
Yeah. Excellent.
Oh, you know, the only thing I forgot today, I'm sorry, we did have a sound effect ready. We had... the hospital corridor.
Ah.
And I'm sorry we never got to that today. Well,
oh, that's too bad.
If we do a replay later in the show,
excellent.
We'll make sure that we work the hospital corridor in. And we'd like to also thank Toya Swallows for coming in and beautifully playing the role of the nurse.
Yes, wonderful job, Toya.
Yes. So that is today's episode of As the World Ahearns.
It was riveting.
Yes. Okay.
Higher rated than Survivor.
Getting better every day.
Mm-hmm.
And wait until tomorrow, because you know good things always happen on Fridays. That's when they leave you with a gigantic cliffhanger.
Yeah, you have to have a big cliffhanger.
Never know what'll happen on Friday.
The nail biter.
On As the World Ahearns.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, Beverly, golfers like to keep dirt and debris off their golf balls.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly when you're putting. They call me three-putt buck. That's why we have cleaning devices around the golf courses. You know, those things you just push up and down. Well, one golfer didn't use a wet towel or any cleaning device. He licked his balls clean.
The Don and Mike Show.
Are they having a good time? Sure. Why not? Feels good. Don and Mike.
Speak to us.
Hey, Don and Mike Show.
Apologies, it's this line. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
You're on the air.
How are you?
Doing great, thanks.
Good. I called Friday from Sacramento right after you guys went off the air.
Yeah.
I was hoping you could help me out and hook me up with perhaps somebody that runs a beauty salon that could transform me into a woman.
Oh, remember this guy?
It's in many cases, sir, it takes more than a beauty salon.
That's true.
Do you feel like you're a woman in a man's body?
No.
You want to be a transvestite, not a transsexual.
Right, I'm just a crossdresser.
So you want to just really be dolled up like a woman.
Right, it's a childhood fantasy.
Can relate to that.
And what woman do you want to look like? Who's the woman that you think you would look best as?
Oh boy, that's a good question. How about let's see, what's her name? Richard Gere's girlfriend.
Cindy Crawford.
Yeah.
Oh, pretty woman.
She's lovely.
So you would like to be made up to look like her.
That'd be great.
And describe yourself to me now. What's your name, Ed?
Ed. You can call me Angie.
Okay, but listen, describe yourself as you are in real life, please.
Okay, I'm about 6'2", blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah.
About 180 pounds.
Now, if you got the blonde hair and blue eyes, why do you want to go with the Cindy Crawford? That's a bit of a stretch. How about like a Sharon Stone?
That'd be all right, too.
I mean, why do the hair? Do you want to get your hair colored?
No, I'd probably be better off doing the wig.
Are you a fag?
No. You asked me that on Friday.
I forgot Friday already.
That's okay.
I'm lucky I remember what we did the last break on this show. So how can we help you?
Maybe if it's at all possible, perhaps a listener that runs a salon could help me out.
Well, are you asking for free? Do you want this for free, or do you just want to find a salon that would actually accommodate a man who wanted to dress like a woman?
Well, for free would be terrific, but I could probably pay something. But my biggest problem is I have a hard time finding my size.
Ed McMahon.
Hey there, Georgie girl.
Maybe that's you.
Swinging down the street so fancy free.
We hardly ever get a chance to play our great collection of Ed McMahon rock hits.
Loneliness there.
Sing it, Ed.
Inside you. Hey there, Georgie girl.
Well, we'll leave you on the line, Ed. Are you serious about this?
Yes.
You got to, you know, I would think that even with a hair salon, you know, they could handle hair and makeup, but you'd have to do your own gown, shoes.
Do you have female?
With that too, guys. I mean, I wear like an 18 dress.
Well,
Do you have any female clothes?
Very little.
Very little? Yeah. How often do you dress like this, Ed?
As much as possible, but not very often.
You love it? I mean, you really love getting dressed up in women's clothing?
Absolutely.
Why, man?
Fantastic.
Tell me why.
It excites me sexually.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
So, do you perform better with a woman when you're dressed like a woman?
Who would like...
I've never tried it.
Yeah, of course, you wouldn't find a woman who would make love to a guy dressed as... Well, maybe you would. No,
you're
in this day and age... Yeah, in this day and age, you probably would.
But it excites you sexually to wear the clothing?
Yes.
Well, you know what my friend Ed McMahon always says about a situation like this?
Each time I see a little girl of 5 or 6 or 7...
Ed,
I can't... joyous urge to smile and say,
"Here you go."
Thank heaven
for you, Ed.
For a little girl.
This is for you, Ed, in Sacramento.
Four little girls get bigger every day.
I shagged her rotten, baby.
Thank heaven.
Thank heaven.
Four little girls.
You listen up, Ed. This one's for you.
This is the greatest.
They grow up in...
Is this sexually stimulating to you?
No.
No, what's sexually stimulating to Ed here is the feel of chiffon brushing up against his thighs.
Yes.
One day.
All right, Ed, hold on a second.
Okay.
You know, I would say if you were wearing a lightweight fabric, and the act of wearing that fabric in a dress form excited you as a man, that might be a rather embarrassing situation.
If you were wearing a dress.
Yeah.
Sure. Something happens to RuPaul, I bet. Hello?
Hello?
When he straps his down.
Oh, right? I think he's got iron down there.
Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great, thanks.
Hey, I'm thinking about proposing to my girlfriend.
Yeah, proposing what?
Proposing, ask her to marry me.
Gotcha, buddy, I knew that.
Yeah.
Yes,
you've done that, twice, right?
Done it many times. You know my advice to you? Well, go rent yourself a nice scoreboard at a stadium.
Okay.
Okay?
But there's no...
That's something you don't see too often. I'm so sick of seeing that. Hey, a crazy fan. Look, it says, "Dear Joanne, will you marry me?"
Funny, my brother-in-law's did that out in San Francisco, Candlestick, and she got up. And they had misinformed him on the between innings when it was going to run.
Yeah.
She went out to get a hot dog or go to the ladies' room. And immediately upon her leaving, they flashed it up on the scoreboard. And they wouldn't, they didn't go back to do it again.
Yeah.
And she came back. And I think they went out to a restaurant and he got on a knee and did it the old-fashioned way.
What I'm waiting for is the one time when the girl says no.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're right on the sideline of a basketball game or a football game and they put up on the screen. And she smacks him.
I think they never say no. What they do is they say yes no matter what.
Yeah.
And then if they're going to say no, they say no later.
Right. So anyway.
Yeah?
Did you want us to help? Or what?
No. I was wondering what would be a good way. Like, just a neat way of doing it.
Is this a bad connection or are you cooking Jiffy Pop back here?
I'm cooking Orville Wettenbacher, actually.
Are you in a car phone or what?
Hello?
And then he died.
Well, I don't know.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
All right.
They would have been so happy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I just called in about the guy who make that guy in Sacramento look like a girl.
Are you a guy who can make the guy look like a girl?
No, but I got the phone number of the company that will do it.
All right, well, have the company call us.
The company.
Okay?
The company.
Guys are us, or girls are us.
Make you a woman.
Or whatever the name of the place.
Make you a woman. Hello. Can you please hold?
Mrs. Doubtfire. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, my gosh. Hi, guys.
Hello.
This is Jan.
Yes, hi, Jan.
How are you?
Doing great, thanks.
You don't sound like yourself.
Please don't say that.
Okay.
I
have a 5-year-old boy, and we listen to you on the drive home, when you first come on at 3.
Yeah.
And when you play those fart sounds, he just goes bonkers.
Well, he's a good man.
Yeah. we were listening to you one day when you talked about, doing it with your wife the night before, and the boys... And the boys in the next day, with your wife in the car and carpool, were giving you some high fives.
Let me get this straight. You're listening to the part where we play the fart sounds and Don talks about having sex with his wife, and that's the part you listen to with your 5-year-old?
Isn't that awful? Yeah, well...
You're a bad mother, as Burt Reynolds would say. But it's okay.
Pepe Le Pew animation cell.
Well, listen, I hope that you pepper the conversation with your son.
I do kind of, really loud when you guys are starting to.
You say, listen, the sounds that Don and Mike play are the same sounds that Mommy and Daddy make, and the same things that Don talks about doing with his wife. Those are the same things your daddy does to me.
There you go.
Well, I had to stop listening to you, you know, once in a while, when, or once when you kind of said, or when he came up and said, you know, I could turn your ass off just like that, or I could hang up on your ass just like this, or whatever you guys.
So let me get this straight. It's okay for your kid to listen to fart sounds and to listen to me talk about glorious sex with my wife, but the word ass?
Well, he started saying it, you know, like around me and my husband. And
hey, you should be a parent. You should work for the board of censors.
Hey, listen, as Mike O'Mara said, I'm sure he's not picking that up from us. I'm sure he's picking it up from the cable.
Getting it from the TV.
That's what I thought, too, you know, that Nickelodeon's awful.
Well, listen, what can we do for you?
What do you mean? What can you do for me?
You just want to call and say hello?
Yeah.
Well,
unless you want to have phone sex.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Wow.
Yeah, baby.
Who's the celebrity you most resemble?
Elizabeth Shue.
You know, I'd like to try that sometime, seriously.
With Elizabeth Shue?
No, just phone sex. I've never tried it. Never tried it.
Call me baby.
She looks like Elizabeth Shue.
That's gross, though.
She's pretty.
Not Elizabeth Shue, but the idea of phone sex is gross.
Not to a lot of people. A lot of people dig it. Like that last guy. And then, who knows, someday a gorgeous woman walks into your apartment.
I get online a lot, and I talk to some of the, you know, men online.
Yeah.
The men that are all 6'2", 170.
And they all really look like Dennis Murphy.
But when they call, they have these great voices.
What does your husband think about you doing that?
What? Does he know?
So he doesn't
that's
know.
Like that's pretty close to cheating.
I thought you said you're online, and then you said they have deep voices. How
yeah,
can
well, they end up calling?
Oh, they you go so far as to have them call?
Sounds like you got a solid marriage.
Actually, do yeah, we really do. And
man, a great parent and a great wife.
Yeah.
So how many guys do you have phone sex with off the internet, Mom?
Oh, you know, in the past 2 years, you know, about 5 or 6, but.
And you're worried about our kid? Your kid listening to our show? What's
smashing that? Baby.
I guess you weren't. I guess you weren't worried about that. Okay. Well, sure.
Where's Daddy? Is Daddy in prison?
Daddy's at work.
Daddy's at work.
Yeah, he'll be listening to you in about an hour.
Does Daddy work in a prison?
Does Daddy know that you have phone sex with other guys?
No, but you know, no. But he knows. You know, we talk and flirt on the online. He does the same thing, but not to that extent. If you know what I mean?
Yeah, like he's not having fake sex with girls on the computer. Right?
Well, you know, he's gone at night, and, you know.
That's, you know, boy, I hate it when you people make me sound moral, but that to me sounds like cheating.
Well, I'm not cheating.
I mean, really, you know, there are certain things on this show you shouldn't have your kid listen to. We say that all the time.
I hope your kid's not listening to you now as you describe the fact that you've had phone sex and pick up guys off the internet.
I know. Well, you know, hey.
How about a shout out to your son right now? What's your son's name?
Matthew.
Hey. Play him some noises, Don. He loves those.
It's only when you start, and you know, about 3:15 when I call.
That's for you, Matt. All right. Well, listen, Mommy. Thanks for the call.
Hey, Don. I listened to you in Chicago when I was like really young.
Oh well, thank you.
Like really, really tight.
Hey, Don. When she was young, you know who listened to you?
Who?
The mother of the year.
Hey guys, I have a good time listening to you though. At least.
Well, thank you.
So, have a good night.
Glad you do. Bye bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
At least.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, at Hello. Least.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, is this Don and Mike?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
This isn't that woman's husband, is it?
No, it's not.
Wouldn't that be sweet if he happened to be listening?
Oh, that would be delightful.
Hello?
Yeah, it would definitely be different.
Hey, that's cheating, man.
It is?
I agree.
I think so.
I'm not on, am I?
No.
Oh, okay, I didn't think so.
No, you never were.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
And you're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi.
I just wanted to give you some information about the caller, Ron.
Which caller is Ron?
Ron called about the girl and the phone sex.
Oh, the guy who met his dream girl.
The David Schwimmer lookalike.
I know them. And he's a good friend. Well, he's my good friend's brother. And I know her. And she looks nothing like Jennifer Aniston.
Well, he didn't say she looked like Jennifer Aniston,
did
she?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Is she a dog?
She's not. I mean, she's got a pretty face, but she's, you know.
He said she was gorgeous.
Oh, I know what she said because
he said.
Listening on the way, but.
All right, rate him on a scale of 1 to 10 physically and rate her on a scale of 1 to 10 physically.
I would say Ronnie is like a 7.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, I don't want to be mean.
Well, be honest.
She's probably like a 5.
Well, you almost said 4.
The bottom line is he really thinks she's gorgeous, and now after what Don says, this would be actually something that's pretty good. It would work out better. If she's super gorgeous, then there's that question mark. Now, if
then
she's
we
not,
wouldn't worry about her being like an axe murdering supermodel.
Now
well,
he might just have
an axe murderer because I knew her a couple years ago, so I know she's safe. But I found it kind of funny when I was driving home and I heard him talking. And
do you
I
like her?
Who she is, you know?
Do you like her?
Yeah, she seems like a really nice girl, but it was just...
She's a nice girl for a 5, you know.
I'm sorry?
I mean, normally somebody would have something against a person to call and you know,
no,
say she's a 5.
But don't you want to know the truth?
Yes. Does she have a big ass?
I don't know.
Big caboose?
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
Now, do you have any designs on Ronnie?
No. I'm married.
Not a little bit?
No.
Nope. There's someone who wanted to set the record straight. She's no Jennifer Aniston. She's a 5. See, I knew where this woman's
like
coming from.
Though.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Meow.
Bye.
So just in the interest of truth.
Yes.
Excellent.
Meow. Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Anyone have phone sex with you, Don?
I'll put you on hold during the break, okay?
Okay, buddy.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I used to be with it, but then they changed what it was. Now what I'm with isn't it, and what's it seems weird and scary to me. It'll happen to you.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
I'm gay, so I want, you know, gay marriage so I can do X, Y, and Z. We legalize heroin because I'm a heroin addict and I want it, so give it to me.
Very quickly, first off, Garth Brooks, you are a putz. No one wants to see you try to play baseball. Shut up. Shut up!
That's it on Garth Brooks.
Didn't he win Artist of the 90s at the American Music Awards last night?
Yeah, but the story about Garth Brooks is that he wants to come back and play baseball again.
Oh, right.
You know, for his charity to help kids. If you really want to help kids, you Humpty Dumpty cowboy, just give them some money.
Right.
You can't play baseball. No one wants to see you play baseball. Shut up, Garth Brooks. Number two thing.
I agree with you.
And normally I would have a much longer spiels on this, but in the interest of time, I will crystallize. Larry King has picked another ridiculous name for his new child.
Right.
The new baby is a son.
What is the? Oh, it's another boy.
It's another boy.
Johnny, you know, testosterone.
Because he's so fertile. And
yes,
all.
And virile.
And to go along with Chance, the new kid will be scarred for life by being named Cannon.
Right.
Cannon King.
Cannon King?
This is Cannon King.
Cannon King.
And as a matter of fact, in his column yesterday in USA Today, mm-hmm. he indicated that he named the kid Cannon because he thinks that that's the name a star athlete would have.
Cannon King.
Cannon King.
Cannon Edward King.
Cannon King.
Oh, God. What a loser.
Okay, now, next point. Dave Letterman.
Mm-hmm.
Hee-hee. I've got the bet going with Mike. I think he'll be back by February 14th.
Right.
I think he'll definitely be back for sweeps. He'll be back on Valentine's Day.
I'm going kind of with a traditional outlook on that, you know, they say anywhere from 6 weeks to 3 months recovery time.
Nah, but in the meantime, what do they do? What do you do?
Right.
You can't run. You can't run tapes, but no, you know what? You're close to what I think they should do.
They should have Johnny come and show. Oh, what a
no
great
matter
idea.
How much it costs.
Right.
I don't care if he wants $1 million a goddamn night. You're not going to have a chance against Jay Leno with Jay Leno all new
right.
and having all the celebrities to himself. You know, and I read today in the New York Post they're thinking about Ray Romano mm-hmm. or Gary Shandling. Wrong.
That's brilliant.
Go to Johnny.
My own. Is this your own?
Yes, this is my own.
This is your own idea.
This is my own idea.
This is one of the best ideas I have ever heard.
Thank you.
This is one of the best goddamn ideas I have ever heard.
I told you, Mike is dropping the GD bomb like crazy in the year 2000.
I'll tell you right now, that is... That's like, I feel like when you say that we're watching some kind of, like we're watching that show, The Late Show.
You call him up and you say, Johnny, Dave is sick. No pressure. You got to fill in for a month, maybe 6 weeks.
Right.
We'll do it any way you want. You want to move the show to Burbank? We'll come to Burbank.
Yeah.
You book the guests you want. We'll get your old writers back.
Oh, it would just be...
You want $1 million a night? You got it.
It would be old home week. Right?
And Johnny,
Oh, I love that.
There's no pressure.
Right.
There's no pressure because as soon as Dave is well...
And then what do?
You're out.
And then you take the ratings and you blow Leno completely out of the water because everybody's going to go on and watch Johnny.
Here's the trump card. Johnny wants to shove it up Jay Leno in NBC's ass.
Right.
So bad.
Oh,
I don't
absolutely.
Care. I don't care how fat Johnny's
gotten. Have you seriously thought about putting a phone call in?
Mike, this is my way of putting a phone call
okay,
in.
Okay, I understand that.
I'm throwing it out now.
That's a great idea.
Into the ozone. This is my idea. I take 100% credit for it.
I mean, this seriously ought to go to Les Moonves.
Call Johnny.
Really?
Have Johnny come out. Because, as you know, Dave lives to suck Johnny's ass.
Dave would love to have Johnny substitute. Dave would make the call himself.
Dave loves Johnny. Johnny loves Dave because Dave was loyal to Johnny.
Right. Great idea.
You know, otherwise, forget about it. NBC... is going to kick ass.
Absolutely.
Who's going to watch a Letterman rerun from a crappy show that was crappy to begin with when you can watch Jay Leno do a brand new show every
Johnny
night?
Johnny's had just enough time now where he'd probably love just to come back for fun.
Mm-hmm. You know what? It's Johnny's way of coming out, whipping his thing out and peeing all over NBC.
I agree.
Right? You say, Johnny, there's no pressure. You come back.
There's no contractual. Is there any paper that when Johnny left, that you know, was there any kind of no-compete or anything?
I think their relationship is completely over.
I don't think so. And you just say to Johnny, you just love just to Dave as well.
Yeah, and not only is he severed with NBC, he still retains control of, I think, every Tonight Show since 82. So he's very independent.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm telling you.
I love that idea.
You go with that, man. Not only do you get momentum on your side,
right.
you get the sympathy vote with the people who think, oh, poor Letterman's in the hospital. Look, his friend Johnny.
Yeah, sure.
Johnny is coming. Hello, Paul. Good evening, Paul.
You'd have to have Johnny come to New York, I think.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Because you got a quick turnaround here. This has got to happen quickly.
Well,
and then you just have Johnny come out. Johnny's
a prick, though, so you might have to go to California.
Well, Johnny, the odds of Johnny doing it are astronomical. But, I mean, if he's...
No. You've got to appeal to his ego.
Yes,
you
got to
call him up ego. Johnny.
Johnny.
Johnny, listen to this.
Yeah.
How would you love the chance to do it to Warren Littlefield with a broomstick up his butt?
Could you just explain to me how I'd do that?
Okay. You step in.
I step in.
And fill in as host of the late show.
The Dave Show?
Until Dave is feeling better. Johnny?
Would you pay me $1 million a show?
Yes.
I'm in. I'll be there Tuesday.
You tell him... Whatever, Johnny, you want to do it from a goddamn tennis court.
Here's the deal.
Do the show from a tennis court.
I'd like to do it Wednesday through Friday. Just three nights a week.
Take that deal.
Tuesday through Thursday. Is that okay?
Take it.
Wild, yeah. I'll do Tuesday through Thursday.
Are you kidding? You would get such an audience.
Yeah.
You would kill Leno.
Be phenomenal.
And then, you know, you get the handoff with Letterman comes back.
Right.
Let's face it. Johnny's always liked Dave better than Jay.
Oh, absolutely. If you had Dave make the call, you know, he's not too sick to make a phone call.
No, he's not too sick. Hey, Johnny, my, oh, my. I'm dying here, Johnny. My, oh, my.
Oh, I've had quintuple bypass surgery. And Johnny's had a bad ticker.
Yes, he has.
The only thing that might really put a damper on it is if Johnny was in such sloppy fat, like...
Yep.
Bad health.
Well, if you've seen the tabloids, and if you've seen like the pictures of Johnny wearing tennis clothes. No, he doesn't, but you know what? You just get him a big suit.
You get him a big suit, paint him up.
Right. You know, let him put on his Karnak wig. Let him put on that robe. You know,
and you bring... Ed back,
no.
Too.
No. I'm sorry.
You bring Ed back.
You do the Letterman show... just with Johnny. You let Johnny interact with that Howdy Doody, who's Letterman's announcer.
I hate that guy.
You let Johnny interact with Paul Schaefer.
Right. From New York, it's The Late Show with David Letterman. Dave's guest host is Johnny Carson.
Imagine that. Wow. Imagine that.
And now, here's Johnny.
And you play the Johnny theme.
Right.
Right. I mean, you know, you start off playing the Letterman theme, but when Johnny comes out, you play the Johnny theme.
Sure.
You let Johnny get all those old fart writers that like making jokes for him about
the president. You let Johnny bring all
these
big guests who just want the opportunity to come back and say hi to Johnny.
Wait, tonight, Paul Anka.
Sure.
You know, all the has-beens.
Alan King.
Tonight, George Segal. You have to play the guitar.
Oh, wouldn't that be sweet?
I'm telling you, that's a genius move.
There's been talk of guest host over the last several days, but you know Letterman's going to feel threatened. If you remember your Larry Sanders, he's going to feel threatened by anybody they brought in except
Johnny.
Johnny Carson.
Johnny
would have no interest in doing it
exactly
outside of that.
But Johnny has a huge interest
right.
in giving it back to NBC.
Oh, sure.
Imagine that. Johnny versus Jay.
Jay would wet his pants.
Yep.
Imagine that. Okay.
I mean, I really feel
when
like
that
this
happens,
is great. It's like an extension of the Late Show. Right?
Just remember where you heard it. When that happens, mm-hmm. right here, I'll take a gold star for that.
That's a great idea.
Hi-o.
That is
Dave.
That is a wild idea.
Dave, I'll do it for you.
It's pretty incredible.
For you.
Wouldn't that be great? I mean, it
get my wife Joel D out of the trunk.
You'd go from having a situation where they have to, you know, use spackle and putty to put things together to you would create an event out of an adverse situation.
Mm-hmm.
It would turn into a huge media event. There would be more. Oh, man. You pay him. I think you pay him whatever he wants.
Right, fine. True. He wants $10 million a week. Do it.
Yep.
Do it. Johnny. You got it.
Johnny.
Johnny. Johnny. But no Rich Little, no Joan Rivers. No problem, Johnny. We kiss your ass.
We haven't seen him in public recently, though, have we? Except for those
tabloid photos. Johnny coming out of the hospital fat. The worst was him in his tennis clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
Looked bad. Had the pink eye, like the Bob Hope pink eye.
Yeah,
a little
that's
bit.
The thing I worry about, the pink eye.
No, but you know what? That's the magic of today's modern makeup. You know, you prop him up.
What a tribute to the past, too. I think
48 minutes. That's all the show he's really got to do every night. Right.
And you know, all those bad photos were before he had his heart trouble. Chances are he's probably slimmed down a little bit because his doctors will have wanted him to.
Yeah, let's send him a letter.
Hi-o.
Hi-o.
Dave.
Dave.
Dave. Hey, Jay. Hey, it's Johnny. Hey, F you.
That's me and you. Mano y mano.
F you, Jay.
Put a big big poster up in Times Square.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
With Johnny's back.
And, you know, Letterman would love that. Letterman hates Leno. And
sure.
Letterman used to like having Johnny on his show instead of Johnny going on Jay's show.
Right.
I mean, I'm telling you, there's no one else to host the Letterman show. If they stay in reruns.
Except Arsenio.
If they stay in reruns, they're killed.
Right.
Buzz, you're absolutely right. You get anybody halfway decent to host the show,
right.
Letterman is going to have
Martin
a heart
Short.
Attack.
I heard Martin Short. No.
Oh, Seinfeld, that's a mistake.
Seinfeld was mentioned also.
No, see, all of those guys, the problem with all those guys, even someone like Martin Short, is that he could do a reasonably decent job.
Yeah, but he wouldn't compete against The Tonight Show.
Right.
But Letterman is not really competing against The Tonight Show now either.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about from the psyche of Letterman.
Mm-hmm.
You either want Johnny,
right,
or you just want to go dark at 11:30. You just put on a MASH rerun at 11:30.
A MASH rerun.
Just don't get anybody. Don't get someone as funny as Gary Shandling or as funny as Ray Romano, because that'll kill Letterman. They come out, they get a big
Gary
laugh.
Gary Shandling would be the only one, because I mean, it would be a la Larry Sanders. You know, a little of that Larry Sanders feel to it. He's done that show, and that would be. If you couldn't get Johnny, that would be my next choice.
No, Johnny's the only choice. I'm telling you, that's the play.
How do you think it'll play out, though? I mean, that's a great idea. How do you think it'll really play out?
Mike, I don't know. How do I really think it'll play? I think they're probably staying reruns.
Yeah.
I think they're probably because...
What a nice cop-out.
Because Letterman is so insecure.
Yeah. Right.
He doesn't want anybody remotely funny coming on and getting any momentum going.
How about just, you get a chest x-ray and you just show Letterman's heart every night. with all its new passageway.
Letterman on the phone every night.
Hi, this is Dave.
Hi, it's Dave.
Just enjoying my Jell-O.
You know, all you're seeing is a big skeleton of his chest.
Hey, buddy, it's your old pal Dave. I wonder if you would take a request. Yeah. Go into real estate. Oh, man.
Man, quintuple bypassers.
See, Dave's not threatened by Johnny.
No.
Because, you know, Dave lives to suck Johnny's ass.
Absolutely.
So that's the play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, last thing I want to say is I've heard a lot of people around here tell me that this matchup of the millennium on ESPN is something that I would love. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't.
Okay. It's put on by NFL Films and ESPN. It's where they take, for instance, the first game was...
Oh, I know what you're talking about, where they actually do it with computer generated.
The 1966 Packers against the 1990s 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
With Joe Montana, right?
Yeah, except it's not slickly done.
Mm-hmm.
It's not done with computer graphics. It's done with old game film.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it last night. I watched part of last night. It was the Steelers of the 70s against the Cowboys of the 90s.
Okay, like Franco Harris and Terry Bradshaw.
Against Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith.
Okay.
The problem is, if you know anything about football, if you've watched football at all, you can tell when the footage changes mm-hmm. from Three River Stadium to the stadium that the Cowboys play in.
Sure.
In some of the plays, the Steelers have a bicentennial patch on their jersey from when they played in the Super Bowl against
right.
the Cowboys. Sometimes they say, like, there's Deion Sanders, number 21 for the Cowboys, defending the pass. Except you see clearly on the guy's jersey, the name is like Jones. What they've done is they just take guys who, they take old NFL game films of the Cowboys versus the Steelers in this case. And if number 21 for the Cowboys in 1978 made a decent play against the Steelers,
right.
they just say it's Terry Bradshaw. It's horribly, horribly spliced together.
Mm.
It's like you get old grainy footage put right next to new video footage. And the thing that makes this a train wreck, need that sound effect, Rob,
mm-hmm.
is the Howard Cosell factor.
Oh, yeah.
They're dubbing in the play-by-play?
That, well, what they've done is, apparently they got a tape of Howard Cosell outtakes. So it's not Howard Cosell actually talking about the game. It's Joe Theismann and Mike Patrick and Steve Sable sitting at a table in the opening shot. And in the corner, superimposed, real fakey like a weatherman standing in front of the weather map, is a 1960s film of Howard Cosell.
Okay.
And as they're calling the game, calling this fake game, Mike Patrick goes, that Terry Bradshaw to Lynn Swann, that's a deadly combination. And Theismann goes, Deion Sanders was beaten horribly on that. Howard, what do you think? I don't agree. Howard Cosell's contributions are all snippets of him going,
right.
What are you talking about?
Oh, that's all it is. It's not him really offering analysis.
No, and at one point, they got something about Bradshaw throws an interception.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And Howard Cosell says, Terry Bradshaw is dumb. He's stupid. He's dumb. Terry Bradshaw is dumb. That's the only thing that they said that remotely made any kind of continuity.
In its train wreck capacity, is it, at least at the beginning, is it interesting viewing?
No. Because they do such a sloppy job
right.
of splicing together the games.
Like there's not enough computer-assisted yeah. Stuff in there.
There's no computer-assisted stuff. Mm-hmm. All it is NFL Films
right.
has taken these different games and splice them together.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really pay attention to details, what, Robbie?
Have you heard any of the really bad edits where they like try to make Cosell make a comment about a player? Like, Coach Vince Lombardi is upset! And it's like two totally different pieces of cadence, and they right. just try and jump them together. It's awful.
And if you watch for any continuity, you see at one time when the Steelers score a touchdown, and back in the background is an NBC logo, like from 1978. The next time they score a touchdown, it says Fox in the background. There's no
so
continuity.
It's not, because the guy that called and told you about that the other day was pretty jacked up about yeah. it and said you dig it.
Oh, and Charlie Broyle told me I like it. As a matter of fact, the game I watched last night, I would be pissed if I was, who's the guy that was 11? Danny White.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Danny White was the quarterback for the Cowboys.
Succeeded Roger Staubach.
For many, many years. Well, they're doing this jive game where they say, Troy Aikman's out, there's his backup, Wade Wilson. And they show videotape of Wade Wilson when he was a backup with the Cowboys in the 90s, number mm-hmm. 11. They show him on the side throwing a pass. Well, the next time the Cowboys have the ball, they go, this is amazing. They have benched Aikman and put in Wade Wilson. And you look at the guy calling the signal.
You know it's Danny White.
You look at the guy's face.
It's Danny White.
It's Danny White. On the back of his jersey, the name doesn't say Wilson. The name says White.
So it's just jive.
It's Wade Wilson.
So what they're doing really, you take issue with the fact they're really just playing with the players' numbers
yes.
to get the desired effect. And I agree, that sounds kind of cheesy.
And they're not even doing a good job of editing this stuff together.
You would think with the computer assist, they'd be able to, you know, blast in a Wilson or, you know, even you know, do amazing things.
They didn't. And it goes from one day when the Cowboys played the Steelers in Pittsburgh, it was overcast.
Mm-hmm.
The next time when the Steelers played in Dallas, it was sunny. So when supposedly the same game you're seeing,
right.
it goes from being cloudy to sunny, nighttime, daytime.
It angered you.
Oh, obviously. quite obviously it did. Okay, that's it. That's all I had for you. Garth Brooks, stop it. Larry King, stupid name. Letterman, go with Johnny. ESPN Game of the Millennium sucks. That's it. I'm out. Normally it would take me 2 hours to tell you all that stuff, but I've condensed it for you today.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And you can get news, weather, and the latest news and weather on Fox 5 News at noon. And we'll see you again tomorrow. Do drive safely.
All right, we're in the victory temple. I can't get it. Ah! Here it comes.
The Don and Mike Show. Of course, Bruce. It's the Don and Mike Show.
This is Jeremy Colvin speaking for the Don and Mike Show. Happy Christmas and a Merry New Year from Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, and 98.1 The Peak, WPEK.
I want to play you a tape now.
All right.
This is a funny tape. This is a really funny tape. I don't know how well this is going to translate on the radio.
Okay.
But we just about bust a gut watching this videotape before the show today.
And I'll be honest, I get this question a lot. I really do about, where are they now? I really do. And, this answers that question for people in the Washington, D.C. area.
There's a disc jockey who we used to feud with named the Grease Man.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy worked for our company. As a matter of fact, you know, we were always pissed at this guy because the company gave this guy every break in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, real sweet deal.
They put this guy on in New York, L.A., Philly, D.C., on big high-power FM stations.
Right.
They syndicated his show. Guy couldn't get a ratings point to save his life, so they canned him. They ended up putting him on this crappy classic rock station here in D.C. where he got no ratings.
Right.
And he finally got fired when he made some insensitive racial comments. I won't get into what he did, but
okay.
Most people know what the Grease Man did to dig himself in this hole.
But he's been in Washington. He had been in Washington for a long time, and people have said, whatever happened to that guy?
I got a winner on the phone.
Okay.
Now that I see it on the screen, this guy has the answer. The lamest program in the history of ESPN. Is this Tim?
Yes, it is, buddy.
Tim, tell everybody what they were running on ESPN.
It was the gayest thing. Jump roping.
Championship jump roping. What I wanted to remember to tell you.
That's in the true spirit of the original ESPN all the way. That's what ESPN started with by covering. Whole philosophy was put, if it's even slightly sports related.
I know,
put it
on. Mike, they've been on for 20 years
now.
I
had young men doing it, and they looked. They're going to be damaged.
You are right. You know what? Hold on. I'm going to give you a prize. Hold on a second. You get a Soprano shirt from HBO. Hold on,
please. Thank you, sir.
Hold on. That was
jump roping.
That's the lamest.
Were they doing double dutch?
ESPN jump roping. No, just guys.
Oh, really?
Jumping rope.
Well, that's boring.
They weren't doing any fancy stuff.
Now, what it would be funny if it was fat guys jumping rope.
Well, that's a series, Mike.
Can you imagine that?
That's not an ESPN show. That's like on Comedy Central.
Overweight celebrity jump roping, okay? Now bring in, ladies and gentlemen, today, Nell Carter will be attempting to jump rope for 10 minutes.
With Queen Latifah.
Fantastic.
See who can go the longest.
Here's Louis Anderson now. He's going to be doing a half hour. Yeah, on the next fat celebrity jump roping.
I don't think that Louis Anderson could jump rope once.
No, I don't think so. That would be the funny part, but he'd keep trying and tripping and trying and tripping.
So listen, everybody asks us, what happened to this disc jockey? The Grease Man, right?
Right.
Okay, well, this guy got fired by CBS, and he's out of the radio business now. No one will touch this guy because he's been banned as a racist. So, came into work today, and John Pop, who produces the G. Gordon Liddy Show, he said, I've got a videotape you guys got to see. John Pop is a creature of the night, and John Pop was up at 2:30 in the morning over the weekend.
You happened to stumble across an infomercial.
Ah. An infomercial for an online dating service.
One of those .coms, one of those websites.
And this is a cheesy, crappily produced, poor lighted, poor microphone. Everything about this is second rate to production on this whole thing for matchmaker.com. And this disc jockey who we know, the Grease Man, he's playing a guy called Dr. Chip Bandwidth.
Dr. Chip Bandwidth, who is offering comic relief for the two hosts. He's not the host of the show. He's the comic foil for the little infomercial.
Now keep in mind, this is a guy, there is no love lost.
between us and this guy.
Hey, thanks, Don and Mike. Stellar job today, I might add.
I mean, we competed against this guy for 10 years. We had big problems when the company hired him and gave him all these opportunities that wouldn't give us.
Right. You would think that perhaps there would be some attempt to modify his rap. Going on an infomercial to perhaps, reinvent himself. For those of you that might have wondered whether he did that, well, you'll hear the tape because that hasn't been done. You're getting the exact same act that that was heard here in Washington.
And you've got to see him. He's now, as I mentioned, it's low rent, low production value, very poorly lit, bad audio, bad video. But apparently they don't even have the money for a comb.
Right.
Because, like, his hair's going a million different ways. Yep. And his necktie is on sideways. And much as I laughed at it, I found myself after we watched it really kind of feeling sorry for the guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's play it now without further ado. Here is the Grease Man in his infomercial.
Buddy, and you say to her, how's that Save the Baby Seals campaign going? I know it affects me profoundly, too. And you sit there typing in your chinchilla bathrobe. You can make a note that she had cute dimples, or you can make a note that her birthday's coming up. The diary helps you remember everything, so they know that, well, frankly, the most important thing in dating is honesty. And once you can fake...
Let me just give you the format of the show. The format is that there's a guy and a girl... who are working for this .com company.
Okay. They're the hosts, and they bring up the different people from the audience that are single and looking for love. And then there's a lady off on the other side that is the computer expert.
They describe her as the Gen X foil.
Yes, the Gen X foil.
Right. She's like the evil opposite of this disc jockey.
Yeah. And then off to stage left for comic relief.
Yeah, it's Grease Man. And the whole thing is a cheaply produced attempt to make this blatant commercial look like you're watching some kind of a dating game television show.
Right.
But it's really not. It's obviously a way to get you to go on this website, pay your $25, and see if you can meet people.
Right.
And it's sad. And now he's giving some of his expert analysis. Oh, and they have him wearing a medical doctor's coat.
He's wearing a lab coat, and it just... Oh, God.
Well, they know that, well, frankly, the most important thing in dating is honesty. And once you can fake that, you got it made. You might want to type in two safety things like, this one has a gargantuan boyfriend and should be avoided at all costs.
Well, you think about how the diary and zip functions are used. Let's go over to Sean and let's meet our first guest.
Thank you, Linda. And, Chip, stay away from members who have big boyfriends, okay?
Did you notice the host... What is his speech? What is this accent?
I don't know
contrived?
If it's
hard to place.
Australian, right. British, something
There's
like that.
Something there.
Yeah, there is some kind of an accent there. Listen carefully.
We're from Chip, too.
Already zipped him up.
Okay. Good.
Hey.
With me now is Nova 855. Welcome to the show, Nova.
Come on.
Robbie, is that that ugly pig?
Yeah, the fat lady.
The fat lady. This lady... 20 pounds of sugar packed into a 15-pound bag is this lady they have up on stage. If you couldn't come up with a better representative for this online dating service, if I'm watching this, if this pig is the best that they could come up with...
And the Grease Man just waits for the dull moments, the lulls in the conversation, and there are many, to put his two cents in there.
And all he does is the same stupid jokes that
same
he
act.
Did, the same jokes when he played records.
That's
listen,
it.
Just listen. Here it is.
Nova is a nurse, and you also have a daughter. She's out of the house. She's in college now, though, right?
Yeah.
So how long have you been on Matchmaker?
Almost a month. I'm a newcomer.
Newcomer, and you like it?
I love it.
Yeah?
I
been
love
training
it.
A lot of emails with people?
I have. I've had so much fun.
Did you have fun filling out the profile, though?
I did. I had a lot of fun on the essay.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoyed reading your profile. And we got something in common. I saw that it said that when you were growing up, you wanted to be a pilot.
Yes.
All right, back this up, Robbie.
Yeah, here we go.
This is maybe...
For those of you that might think that, that he's trying something new...
This is maybe the oldest electric weenie disc jockey joke service joke in the world. I'm not kidding.
Right.
In the world. Here you go. And this is typical of what Dr. Chip Bandwidth off offers on this infomercial.
I did. I had a lot of fun on the essay.
I really enjoyed reading your profile. And we got something in common. I saw that it said that you, when you were growing up, you wanted to be a pilot.
Yes.
Why didn't you do it?
Well, I was a girl. You know, back then, back in the old days, girls
weren't pilots. Oh, come on. The last flight I took, I was sitting there. I used to fly in the military. And I said to the flight attendant, I said, can I talk to the pilot? Flight attendant said, she's not here yet. I said, well, how about the co-pilot? She said, she's not here yet either. I said, the flight engineer, she's not here yet either. I said, well, could I at least see the cockpit? Lady said, we don't call it that anymore.
I
should have done it. What about you, Nikki? You ever involved yourself in a mile-high club?
Yeah, there he is.
No way. Those bathrooms are so small. My little butt will get sucked right through that toilet. There's no way I'm doing that.
See what he's doing now? Now he's talking to the woman who's on the other side of the stage.
Yeah.
This woman who they've described as a Gen Xer, who is supposed to be the yin to his yang.
You notice how he threw in that thing? He used to fly for the military.
Right.
Just slightly toned down. Yes, back there when I was Sergeant Fury.
I'll keep that in mind. I'll have to remember that. Anyway, so, have you been on any dates yet?
Not yet. No? I've had one arranged, and both of us were sick this week.
Oh, no.
So we're going to reschedule.
Mm-hmm.
But I've talked to them.
I'm just curious, do you have any particulars? We've had people on the show who say, I won't respond to an email unless the person I'm browsing, they have a picture I can look at. Do you have that same kind of...
I really like the pictures. Mm-hmm. It really is important. So I would recommend
that. As opposed to the pictures.
Get a picture.
This is so embarrassing. I like the pictures.
We have it up here now.
This whole process is embarrassing.
I like it very much.
Well, here's the deal. If there's someone that sounds interesting and they haven't scanned a picture, but you still want to meet them, but you want an out, you could conceivably show up at the meeting place, they're wearing the red rose and the lapel, and then if they're hideous, intolerable, completely undoable, I mean repulsive, you can run up and say, I just came to tell you I can't make it. I've had an emergency come up. I didn't want to leave you standing here. I just wanted to take you the time for coming. I gotta go. The hearse should be arriving anytime soon. But you take care, and I love you for coming. I gotta scoot.
Awful.
There
he is. Dr. Chip Bandwidth.
You know what's truly horrifying about it is they're painting him to be the computer expert. That's
right.
His role. He's
sure.
Like the guy that runs the whole dating service. So the genius behind this thing is going to turn your life around.
Sure.
This is awful. This is embarrassing, man.
Essentially, now he's doing his morning show at night.
That's right. And you heard I'm doing my morning show at night. You want to talk to a guy who claims he ran the teleprompter during that tape?
Sure.
Okay, hello. Scott?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. You were really there for the taping of this awful infomercial?
Oh, it was absolutely horrible.
Where was it done?
I do part-time teleprompting. This was at Atlantic Video. They're a big video production company in D.C.
Right.
And I came in to do the shoot, and they're only shooting 27 minutes worth of tape. And it was so terribly done that it took them almost 4.5 hours to get the thing done.
Wow.
And, like, they had... Their live audience got up and left halfway through. It was an absolute nightmare.
I mean, I can't do this justice. I can't describe the cheesy look of this, how poorly lit it is, how bad the audio is, how the pacing is just not there. And the funniest thing is this guy Greaseman, who's supposed to be the computer expert.
Right.
He has no stage presence.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they go to him, he looks like he should be a disc jockey standing in front of a microphone doing a bit to a microphone.
Yeah, never, you know, I think people have wondered, you know, whatever happened to, and, you know, now.
Here's the answer.
We have the answer.
He's on an infomercial at 2:30 in the morning pretending he's a Dr. Chip Bandwidth.
Entertaining John Pop.
I don't know who's more pathetic, Greaseman for taking that job, or John Pop for being up in the middle of the night to tape it, or you and me for taking that tape and then playing it on our show.
You will admit, though, it falls into the so bad it's good category.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
All the way, dear.
Absolutely. So what was the Greaseman like to work with on this project?
I mean, he was hilarious. He was the same guy he always is with, you know, the hop of the gee and all of that ridiculous stuff. For basically 4 hours. I mean, he never really came out of character. I don't know, if he ever comes out of character.
I you know, we've met him, and I have not seen him really out of that character.
I guess that's just the way he is.
it.
Did he appear to be real down on his luck? I mean, I've got to think that, you know, being in radio, certainly, mm-hmm. as we've mentioned before, it's the lowest rung of showbiz.
Right.
You don't get much lower. However, I think we're going to have to add a new bottom rung
infomercials.
To that showbiz
I believe so. Infomercials might add, there might be a chance that infomercials are below us on the show business ladder.
How did his mood appear? Did it seem like this was his last stop on the entertainment carousel?
Well, his enthusiasm was way up high. I think he was, I don't know whether he was trying, this is going to be his big comeback, or I don't know, but he was trying to be really enthusiastic about it.
Dr. Chip Bandwidth.
Yeah, it was.
I am your computer expert.
Yeah.
Dr. Chip Bandwidth.
Cockpit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Scott.
Hey, sure thing.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Why don't we have him on the show? He's got everything. He's got everything that we need to know.
Well, it's a dangerous game out there. You guys look at this dating thing as a, oh, it's nice to meet you, it's nice to meet you. It's like a battle plan. You got to lay down your plan of action. Contingencies. What happens? Hideous mole on the end of the nose. Extraction. Target acquisition. Nice tatas, good butt. Bad breath. Next target acquisition.
Oh, my God.
You guys are looking at it too frivolously. You got to plan this stuff for your ultimate satisfaction.
Absolutely. And speaking of satisfaction, what would be your perfect date?
This guy.
I would think I would like to meet first.
Oh, of
just
course.
Just to get over.
After he sees the pictures.
There's chemistry there.
Oh, this is embarrassing.
Oh, God.
I tell you, when I finally get fired from radio, mm-hmm. whether it be for a racial epithet or whether it be just because I can't get ratings, mm-hmm. I will go sell shoes. I promise you. I will be taking tolls on the Bay Bridge.
You go quietly.
Before you see me doing something like this.
Let me tell you something. All the strolling in the country, you guys must have stock in the mosquito repellent. Whatever happened to a quiet restaurant? Everybody wants to be by the water, by the lake. You end up with Lyme disease, for crying out loud.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Hey, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Maybe even hold hands. You don't have to be. It's just something light and easy, you know.
Well, don't listen to him. Like, he's Mr. Romantic over there in his blue coat. And what the hell are you
talking about? It's the Mile High Club man over here. Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
Romantic.
He spends a fortune on plane tickets, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Listen how awful that is. I mean, there's no pacing on this show.
For love and romance?
On this show. I mean, on this commercial.
Infomercial. Not even commercial. Infomercial.
I would really, you know, because of my age, mm-hmm. I'm looking at, you know, the
in my pictures.
The maturing.
Everybody we showed this tape to today, absolutely, bust a gut laughing.
Yeah, it's truly amazing. Yeah, everybody was wondering.
It's going to be one of those tapes that gets dubbed off, and everybody at the radio station is going to leave with a copy of this.
Sure,
today.
All right. Absolutely.
And then be, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I
tell
you, thank you so much for being on the show, Nova. We really appreciate it. When we
thank
come right
you.
Back.
Hold, one more last thing.
Is this the promo?
This is where they do like a fake commercial mm-hmm. in the middle of this show.
Right.
Talking about this website and also
Dr. Chip Bandwidth.
Espousing the virtues of Dr. Chip Bandwidth.
There we go. Okay.
Let's just hear that. That's the last part.
We're going to be with Kelvin 231. Don't go away.
Every week on Matchmaker.com Live, right here on this channel, our hosts, Linda Bonnell and Sean Pratt, will introduce you to real people.
So poorly done, isn't it?
Who are online.
Like a community college project.
Meet people just like you for friendship, romance, and a whole lot more. From Dr. Chip Bandwidth, one of America's funniest and most informed internet gurus, you'll get tips about the internet and how to use Matchmaker.com, the world's largest online database. From learning how to scan and upload photos.
Okay, you got to see the picture here. The picture is of him sitting over a laptop, and he's like furiously typing and mopping his brow.
Internet guru.
Yeah, this is not an internet guru. This is a disc jockey. This is a disc jockey who can't get a job spinning records.
D-W-E-J-A-Y.
And you should see him sit there, like, furiously. He's going back and forth on the keys while they're describing him here.
Well, you heard that, you know, he did show enthusiasm when they were doing it.
Here's Johnny Pop, who actually saw this show. Hi, Johnny.
Yes, I found this gem. I just want to say this is probably one of the most serious cases of miscasting I've ever seen in my life.
Cockpit.
To downloading information, to searching, browsing, and sending and receiving
sending real-time messages to millions of people. Dr. Bandwidth keeps us informed and in stitches. And let's not forget about our Generation X internet dating and protocol expert, Nikki. Using her quirky sense of humor and common sense notion of what's right and wrong, Nikki gives our studio guests, online members, and TV audience her own dose of what
this is like small market times 1,000. This is like beginner. This is like high school in the AV club.
That way,
you'll know whether or not your luck will find
it. Luck will find it.
I shall not name what you have under the bread. I shall merely imitate it.
Ready?
Oh, no. That gets your bandwidth.
Someone with a sipping room. A really good body.
How can you do that?
On the show are real members of Matchmaker.com.
I mean, it's tough enough for us to look ourselves in the mirror every day after we do this goddamn
job. Yes, it
job.
Is. Yes, it is.
But how could you possibly look yourself in the mirror and
gotta
say...
Gotta put food on the table, Don.
I am Dr. Chip...
Bandwidth.
Bandwidth.
Gotta put the food on the table.
Mm-hmm. I am internet guru, Dr. Chip Bandwidth. Where is my medical jacket?
Oh, my lab coat. Yeah.
Crazy.
Right now, people like Jamie, Angel, Diana, Michael, John, and Shelley. And you can be too. So next week, tune in your television.
Ever heard anything this low rent in your life? And you got to see the production values on this.
Mm-hmm.
Really bad, like Wayne's World production.
Go to Matchmaker.com and go meet somebody. That easy.
And here we come back like it's a real show.
We're back.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Our next guest is an animal lover. You can see him there with his dog. He's a man who knows exactly what he wants. He wants a single, smart, slender, non-smoking, outgoing, stable, intelligent woman.
Good luck. Pretty good cleavage on the co-host.
In fact, he's so...
Yeah, on the girl who's talking now, yeah.
Very much so.
I'm sure that he can give at least as much as he receives. That he offers, get this, ladies, a 30-day money-back guarantee. Let's meet Kelvin, 231.
Doesn't a grease man have a comment about that, about the 30-day guarantee?
I'm waiting.
Guarantee.
Oh, sure.
You offer that. You put this in your bio.
Sure.
Oh.
Wait a minute now. Is this some kind of trick? Not to blow your cover here, but, I mean, you tell them the 30-day money guarantee. Does it mean you really guarantee a good time, or you just get 30 days usage of that?
30 days is good either
way. I like this guy.
You've met your match now, Dr.
Yeah, I think I have.
Okay, Dr. Bandwidth has met his match.
Your last girlfriend said you actually look
good. Dr. Chip Bandwidth. Chip Bandwidth with you. Internet guru.
We watch you. I peck away crazily at my laptop.
What a pleasant surprise it was.
Yeah.
Well, that's what she said. Most guys don't, but I did.
All right. Well,
that's same energy level, so that's
enough. Well, now you know.
For those of you who are wondering.
What the grease man is doing now.
There you go.
Pretending to be an internet guru on a bad middle-of-the-night infomercial.
Yeah.
It was either that or phone sales for MCI.
Thank you, Buzz. And we'll be back after this.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.